Just memorization. We will not discuss rasa dance, but just one verse we will recite. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritaham bhajate tadrishi krida vyashrutva tatparo bhavet. When the Lord assumes a human-like body to show mercy to His devotees, that is anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritaham, then He engages in such pastimes as will attract those who hear about Him to become dedicated to Him. Bhajate tadrishihi krida yaha shrutva tatparo bhavet. Yaha shrutva, by hearing those pastimes, tatparo bhavet, people will become His devotees. That is how He will enact. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritaham bhajate tadrishi kridam yashrutva tatparo bhavet. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritaham anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritah anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritah bhajate tadrishi kridam bhajate tadrishi kridam bhajate tadrishi kridam yashrutva tatparo bhavet. Yashrutva tatparo bhavet. Yashrutva tatparo bhavet. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritah bhajate tadrishi krida yashrutva tatparo bhavet. Together. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manushim deham ashritah yashrutva tatparo bhavet. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritah bhajate tadrishi krida yashrutva tatparo bhavet. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritah bhajate tadrishi krida yashrutva tatparo bhavet. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritah bhajate tadrishi krida yashrutva tatparo bhavet. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritah bhajate tadrishi krida yashrutva tatparo bhavet. So that is the purpose for which Krishna descends into this world, out of His mercy, causeless mercy to His devotees. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. That's why He comes to this material world. Otherwise, so many people are worshipping Him with so much love and affection and reverence in the Vaikuntha planets, in the Goloka, in all the spiritual worlds. Right? He was being worshipped nicely. But still He comes into this material world. Although there is no reciprocation from the inhabitants of this material world. Some inhabitants of this material world think that God has no form, God has no name, God has no activities, God is dead, God doesn't exist only, or I am God, or He is God, everyone is God, this universe is God, love is God, light is God. Different conceptions people have about God. Right, and that God is descending into this material world for what? Bhajate tadrishi krida ya shrutva tatparo bhavet. To enact so many wonderful pastimes in this material world and create a subject matter for hearing for all these people. Right, so by hearing that subject matter, one becomes attracted to Him. And what is the result? Tat paro bhavet. They will become his devotees. So hearing about Krishna is a very important means to get connected with him. So to create that subject matter for hearing, so Krishna comes every often, in every day of Brahma. Right? Within every day of Brahma, he comes in multiple expansions. So that is the purpose. So one such activity we will discuss now in this Arishtasura episode. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is slaying of Arishta, the bull demon. So all of you are happy in Vidyapeeth? Are you happy with the curriculum, the lectures, the services? I am especially very grateful to your batch because the amount of service your batch has rendered and the sincerity and discipline that your batch has showed in your studies is quite unparalleled. It was not seen in the previous batches, I will say like that. I'm confident. So yeah, previous batches have done a lot of service. There are many scholarly devotees, but if you see as a batch, right, as a group, full group, your overall performance is quite well. Because one example is all of you are qualified for Bhakti Vaibhav. All your Bhakti Vaibhav certificates are in my locker now. I'm waiting for His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj to come one day and distribute. I hope that will happen before your course ends. And the unparalleled contribution that your batch has given for the making of Bhagavat Subodhani is really remarkable. All the thematic compilations, that Krishna's names, character portrayals, then Vaishnava qualities, saintly qualities, all the appendix material, and that is just your assignment submissions. And the main overview, the main content of the book, that also many of you participated, especially Gauranam Prabhu, and in the recent past our Mukund Mala Prabhu. Right? That is also really significant contribution from your batch to the world of Bhagavatam readers. And Alexis Prabhu gave it a really professional touch with his super excellence in terms of English editing. And I was doing a layout in publishing layout format, which is quite time taking. Unless your content is finalized, you can't get into that layout. Once you put in layout, to make a little editing in that also will, you know, take a toll on the designer to make a lot of adjustments. But he has replicated that design into regular simple Word, which anyone can contribute, anyone can do. Right now, the layout for all the future volumes of Subodhani is ready. Anyone, you can also write. Someone who knows where is A, where is B, where is C, D in the keyboard, you can put, he'll become a designer. So that is his wonderful contribution. Like that, everyone has contributed in various capacities. Mohan Rupu, they're making keys for the exams, and so much management Nithai Chaitanya Prabhu is doing. Madhav Prem Prabhu, so much management, coordination. And I never had to follow up the sound system team, Rasanand Prabhu and Yadavar Prabhu. They are always alert, right? And who can compare with the humility and eagerness for service of Mukund Mala Prabhu? And who can compare with the simplicity of Hari Govind Prabhu. And I can say in the last four batches, I never felt so relieved by seeing an answer sheet as much as I do when I check Subal Pran Prabhu's paper. It's like string of pearls with proper side headings, very structured. And our doctors, right, always taking care of you. So disciplined, our Prananath Krishna Prabhu, extremely disciplined. And Sridhar Nimai Prabhu, he is caretaker of all of you in terms of your health needs and ashram also. And we are fortunate to have an experienced devotee amongst us, Ajay Gaurang Prabhu. Right? So like that, your batch is quite special. So I'm very grateful. But interestingly, ironically, I had spent the least time with your batch in terms of giving classes. But I have been regularly attending your sloka classes, more or less. Right? I was not so regular with the previous batches, even third batch also. Last first two, three cantos I went. After that, I never went. Because it's not sustainable, one person to go everywhere. And now the fifth batch also. First canto, I went few times. The second canto, second time I'm going now. It's all, so many things are happening. Now it expanded. So far it is two batches. Now two, three, four. Bhakti Shastri, five. Then all those three extra. Now Gauram Prabhu called me on August 1st to present in comm meeting so that we can start another batch in Chopati. That will become the ninth batch, parallelly. Right. And I had been quite ambitious in launching all the six cantos of Bhagavad Subodhani in this year only, 50th year of ISKCON. I have been chasing so many deadlines. Right. Narasingh Chaturdashi was my plan to release fourth canto, but the stock of first canto, first and second canto, first volume of Subodhani got over, and I thought, why not revise it? So that revision took, you know, a long time, more than a month. Then Bhagavat Ratnamala, then we had to revise the student handbook to make it compact. Then third batch had to pass out. Fifth batch has to come in, so many foreign admissions. Apart from, all these are additional, apart from the regular things that are going on, deity service, Vrindavan forest, monsoon in Vrindavan, to handle that. And traveling little bit in the midst of all this, I could not give time to all of you. I'm sorry. Of course, giving my time is not so substantial for you, but oftentimes you didn't get the association of senior speakers also. That has been a source of little dissatisfaction in some of you. I can make out, some express, some don't. But you have been quite tolerant and you have been doing your services so nicely. And so many projects are coming up weekend. So now Gauram Prabhu gave me a special instruction this morning. Especially regularly, but that went into the background because so many instructions came after that and it became pile. Prabhu said, remove this, put it here. Giving classes to this batch is your priority now. Three times he said. So I'll come regularly, hopefully. I'll come whenever Radhika Vallabhapuru and Damodar Prabhu are not available. When they are there, you will get nourished, I know. But I will try to come. This is my sense gratification, definitely. All the Vrindavan episodes, Arishtasur, then what else? The Arishtasur, Keshi, Vyoma, Nandamaharaj, swallowed by that Sudarshana, that snake. Then all these are some of my favorite sections, all Vrindavan Leelas. But I didn't have the fortune of participating in that with your batch in discussing all that because of other services, priorities. Okay. Next, 36th chapter, text number 1.
Sri Badarayanir Uvacha Athatarhyagato Goshtam Aristo Vrishabhasuraham Mahimahakau Kakutkayaha कंपयन खुरा विक्षताम
Shukadeva Goswami said, the demon Arista then came to the covered village. Appearing in the form of a bull with a large hump, he made the earth tremble as he tore it apart with his hooves.
So, Shukadeva Goswami has been describing Krishna's killing of so many demons. So now he is in the climax. Last three demons are left now. Of course, Krishna has been killing so many demons. What is available from Bhagavatam is only this, whatever, 20-30 demons. Only those are listed. But there are more demons. Like almost every day some demon is coming and disturbing in Vrindavan. That's what we hear. But there are many more demons than what is listed in Bhagavatam. Now Arishtasura is coming. He is one of the last demons that he created. And thanks to Arishtasura, we have Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. So, here in this first verse, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that Arishtasura came to Cowherd village, that is Vrindavan, then in the form of a bull. Then he made the earth tremble as he tore apart with his hooves. So when a powerful bull moves, that actually creates some agitation. Even our regular bulls, Subal, you know Subal? Very one of the oldest bull in our Goshala. Even when it comes, not this Subal, this Subal Pran. When that Subal comes, your Pran will shake. So when he comes, like without any, what to say, rope, without any cowherd man, or bullfighter like Radha Madan Gopal Varu controlling it, right? No one around. Just it is roaming like this. It's quite scary to go around, go closer to it, unless you are used to it. Some guests are coming, you just release our bull without any rasi or anything like that. It's quite scary. So now it is Arishtasura. This bull is 1,000 times more powerful than any other ordinary bull. Second, it has demoniac intentions. It came specifically for the purpose of creating disturbance in Vrindavan and killing Krishna. Wait, how much trouble it must have caused in Vrindavan? We'll see now. So according to Vishnu Purana, Arishtasura entered Krishna's village at the time of twilight. Means Krishna was about to perform his Raslila pastimes. Right? At that time he came. Right? So, Arishtasura actually represents pride arising from indulging in false religions. Right? Pride arising from indulging in false religions. Although somebody is involved in some false activity, false dharma, still there is some pride. Right? So, dharma projita kaita vottra paramo nirmat saranam satam. Bhagavatam rejects these false dharmas. Kaitava dharmas, materially motivated religious practices right in the beginning. People perform dharma to get artha and they want to employ that artha in kama. If they are frustrated in kama, some of them might think of moksha. That too impersonal kind of flavor. So this line, and while doing it they are proud. Right? Arishtasura represents that. Right? Pride arising from indulging in false religions. Which are the causes of neglecting bhakti? People, if we tell them, please accept devotional service, people will say, "Hum bhi dharmik hai. We are also doing dharma. Right? I am worshipping so and so Babaji. I am worshipping some Bhadrakali. Right? Ghora Rupan in the second canto, no, I mean, second chapter of the first canto, ending. Sukadeva Goswami discourages the worship of demigods. Ghora Rupan. So, devotees do not indulge in worshipping demigods. Especially the Ghora Rupa demigods like Kala Bhairava, Bhadrakali, Chandi, Chamundi, with some skulls and neck, killing some demons, riding on some ferocious animals, right? With some tongue hanging like this, right? These are all Ghora Rupan. They are like mode of ignorance worships. So devotees do not indulge in all those kind of worship. You can refer 1.2. Somewhere in 30 it comes. 26, right? What is the verse? Mumukshavo Ghora Rupan. Those who are serious about liberation, they don't take care of, they don't worship Ghora Rupa. Hitva Bhutapatin. Bhutapatin, Shiva and all the ferocious ones. This is important name. Bhajantihi Anasuyave. Anasuyave means, although they don't worship these demigods, they respect those demigods. They are not envious of those demigods. That is Anasuyave. But those who worship those demigods, they become proud that they are such a dharmic people. Right? They are following some pseudo-religious practices which are not very highly revered in the Vedic scriptures or Vaishnavas. Still they become proud. And false religions, irreligions, so people who practice them also are becoming proud. Aristasura represents that. So in the Garga Samhita, the past life of Aristasura is mentioned. He is a Brahmana called Varatantu. Varatantu. He is a disciple of Brihaspati. What he was doing is, one day he just stretched his legs, right? Showing them towards his guru, in the direction of guru. Right? He was like very relaxed, like this. He just was in a very casual attire in front of guru, right? Stretching his legs, facing his guru, extending like that. Then Brihaspati said, "You sit like a bull. The way bull sits, you are sitting. You fool, become a bull." See, in those days, all these cultural things, cultural aspects, some way of sitting postures also, they matter a lot. You may become the object of anger of such great personalities if you are little casual. Brihaspati came inside Indra's assembly. Indra felt that, Arrozare, I'll be agya. Right? What am I supposed to do? Why am I supposed to act in a very special way? So he felt little, he didn't take it very seriously. So he lost everything. So what seems to be so obvious and what is supposed to be overlooked in the current society is very serious in those days. Right? It's all this refined etiquette and behavioral patterns and culture, body language, offering obeisances, this and that, all these are very important in those days. Now he became a bull. So now you can't get on the case of people like that. Kali Yuga people have so many back pains, knee pains, they can't offer obeisances also so many times. Right? When I come back, so many people offering obeisances, and I also have to think twice before offering obeisances also. Look at your knees and legs. So Kali Yuga people are little exempted, right? Being so strict. Sometimes you see our devotees stretch their legs in the classroom. But nobody takes it very seriously in Kali Yuga. But there it is serious. So this Varatantu was cursed. So now Kamsa, like he is going on his Vijayatra. He goes everywhere and then kills some demons. He fights with some demons and defeats them. But he doesn't kill them. He makes allies with them. He makes them his friends. Means servants. I will not kill you, but mera dost ban jao. Then whatever I want you to do, you have to do. Even at the cost of your life. And he has made friendship with all these demons and started engaging these demons in his service, in protecting his life, by sending them to kill Krishna. And all these faithful demons were going and trying to kill Krishna, but they are getting killed. And Kamsa's confidence is getting lost day by day. So this, as I said, Aristasura represents cheating religion. So cheating religion not only can mean, cheating religion is basically materially motivated religion. Dharma projita, kaitava dharma. So materially motivated religion is not only the dharma, artha, kama, moksha and the demigod worship and karma, all this that outside people are doing. We can also do materially motivated bhakti. What lesson we can take from this is,
If we are thinking that I am going to gain something material by my practice of devotional service, by rendering this service I will get some material benefit, if one thinks like that, that is Arishtasura mentality. That is Arishtasura living within us. So it is quite danger. Cheating propensity is there in service sometimes. What is that cheating propensity? Trying to have some ulterior motives and undue expectations from rendering service. If a service is rendered with a mood of selflessness, the satisfaction it gives is unparalleled. Because of our motives and selfish desires, we are depriving our soul of that satisfaction in service. By keeping ulterior motives, we are just starving our soul of the satisfaction that is there, inherent in Krishna's service. If one renders service to Krishna, the soul is completely satisfied, thoroughly satisfied. Yatma suprasidati. Bhagavatam establishes right in the beginning, you perform devotional service, you serve the Lord, you will get satisfaction. Your intelligence is satisfied, your heart is satisfied, your mind is satisfied, your senses are satisfied. All these are satisfied just by employing them in service to Krishna. But while employing all our senses and mind and intelligence and everything in service of Krishna, if we hold to some material desires and ulterior motives and then some undue favors, right, perks, then we are depriving our soul of that satisfaction, right, which is very carefully guarded by the meanings of the scriptures. And one will not be exposed to the meanings of the scriptures if there are ulterior motives, right? So Arishtasura mentality is to have this cheating propensity and motivations, material motivations. So actually Arishtasura, when he was killed, he added his bones, his skull, whatever, his material body also, added to the beauty of Vrindavan, became a part of Vrindavan's landscape. Once Lalita, one of the favorite sakis of Srimati Radharani, she says that this Arishtasura, the skull of Arishtasura is there, the bones. So it is like the clouds of autumn season, right? These decaying bones are often mistaken for the mountain Kailash by the servants of Kuvera. So Arishtasura bone is there, skull is there. So people, Kuvera's associates, Yakshas, they think that, oh, this is Himalaya mountain, and then they land there. Then we came somewhere, Vrindavan, not Kailash. Right? Then they go to their Alakapuri. You know, Shiva's associates are Kuvera and the Yakshas. Dhruva went there to fight. That is Himalaya region. But seeing the shineness of Arishtasura's bones, they think that this is Himalaya. Okay, now we will, that's intro. Rambhamana Karataram Padacha Vilikhan Mahim Udyamya Pucham Vaprani Vishanagrena Chodharan Kinchit Kinchit Chakran Munchan Mutrayan Stabdhalochanaha.
Arishtasura bellowed very harshly and pawed the ground. With his tail raised and his eyes glaring, he began to tear up the embankments with the tips of his horns, every now and then passing a little stool and urine.
Okay. Little stool and little urine. Bullshit. That is called bullshit. Arishtasura is a bull, no? So he's passing that. Bull urine. I don't know if it is useful. It's not meant for co-products, right? Anyone in cottage industry, yes, Prabhu. We don't use it, right? It's all useless only. Next, 3 and 4. Yasya nirhadite nanga nishture nagavam drinam patantya kalato garbhah sravantismabhayenavai నిర్విశంతి ఘనాయస్య కకుద్య చలశంకయ తం తీక్ష్ణ శృంగం ఉద్వీక్ష్య గోప్యో గోపాశ్చ తత్ర సుః.
మై డియర్ కింగ్, క్లౌడ్స్ హోవర్డ్ అబౌట్ షార్ప్ హార్న్ అరిష్టాసురా'స్ హంప్, మిస్టేకింగ్ ఇట్ ఫర్ ఎ మౌంటైన్, అండ్ వెన్ ద కవర్డ్ మెన్ అండ్ లేడీస్ కాట్ సైట్ ఆఫ్ ద డీమన్, దే వర్ స్ట్రక్ విత్ టెర్రర్. ఇండీడ్ ద స్ట్రైడెంట్ రివర్బరేషన్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ రోర్ సో ఫ్రైటన్ ద ప్రెగ్నెంట్ కౌస్ అండ్ విమెన్ దట్ ది లాస్ట్ దియర్ ఫీటసెస్ ఇన్ మిస్కారేజెస్.
బుల్ ఈస్ వాకింగ్ అండ్ లేడీస్ ఆర్ హ్యావింగ్ మిస్కారేజెస్, కౌస్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో హ్యావింగ్ మిస్కారేజెస్. So he didn't come to Gokul till now, because Kamsa did not permit him. So now Kamsa gave approval, so he is coming. So this proud bull, Arishtasura, he chased the cows also and attacked them, right? Because he was not satisfied with fight. So if the Yuddha Kanduti is not satisfied, then people just very frantically search for proper combat, right? Someone has to subdue their pride. Krishna will do that job in after few verses. But same thing can happen to a practitioner also. He has an appetite to do something, right? He wants to do something. He has some skill. He wants to show it. He wants to employ it. If that is not satisfied, he will hanker to satisfy that skill. Somebody is good at singing. Someone is good at playing musical instruments. Someone may be good at writing. Someone may be good at speaking. Someone may be good at managing, cooking, deity worship. I've been handling this deity worship. But if one doesn't get that opportunity to employ that, to show that skill, then he might become a little restless. But when we come to devotional service, that desire to employ our skills and faculties and whatever things we have in Krishna's service is very beneficial for our advancement, definitely. So one can have an inclination to render some service, no problem. But when it becomes like too much, especially if he's running behind privileged services, that could be a problem. But in general, what we say is, whatever abilities that we have, if we employ in Krishna's service, that is uplifting the soul, right? So here, this proud bull, he has a lot of strength. He wants to employ that strength in front of someone. He's just like chasing behind poor cows. And he's not like an ordinary bull also, right, which can be handled by some ordinary cows. He's a special bull. To handle him, how many cows are needed? Right? So he was not satisfied with that fight. So he's searching. So this purport says that up to the fourth month, the premature delivery is called Shrava, and that is Garbha Shrava. And in the fifth and sixth months, it is called Pata. And after this is considered birth. Right, so after 6 months, from 7th month onwards, when the child comes out also, it is like birth only. Right, it's not called garbhasrava. It's not like miscarriage. Miscarriage can happen in a premature stage, but generally it happens in 9 months, right? But if it happens in 7th month, it is considered birth only, not miscarriage. More details you can ask Sridhar Nimai Prabhu. I know this much only. Whatever is written in the purport, embryology. He knows. Then Pashavo Durdubhita Rajan Santyajya Gokulam Krishna Krishneti Te Sarve Govindam Sharanam Yayuhu.
Domestic animals fled the pasture in fear, O King, and all the inhabitants rushed to Lord Govinda for shelter, crying, Krishna, Krishna.
So the previous verse says, Tam tikshna shringam udvikshya gopyo gopascha tatrasuhu. Tikshna shringam, his sharp horns are there, Udviksha, seeing that what happened to gopis, gopyah, gopah, all the cowherd ladies and cowherd men, cha tatsruhu, right, tatrasaha. So they became very frightened. And in that fear, what they did? They took shelter of Krishna. So every fellow in this entire material cosmic manifestation will undergo some difficulty at one point or the other. In fact, he is undergoing difficulty throughout his life, throughout his tenure in the material cosmic manifestation, in whichever life he may be, in whichever planet he may be. But what distinguishes a devotee from all those conditioned souls who are populating this entire universe is, in difficulty, devotee takes shelter of Krishna. That makes him very special. Pashavo dudruvur bhita rajan santyajya gokulam. So Pashava means all the domestic animals. They were running away out of fear. Pashavo dudruvu bhita. Then rajan santyajya gokulam, O Raja. So abandoning gokulam, the gokulam, the pasturing ground, the place where cowherds live. So they left that place and then they started running away. Then what they did? Krishna Krishna iti. Krishna Krishneti te sarve govindam sharanam yayuhu. So everyone rushed. Leaving the pasturing ground means leaving that place, they came to Krishna to take shelter of Krishna. Rushed to Govinda for shelter, crying Krishna, Krishna. It is natural for the Vrajavasis. Whether it is animals or birds or human beings or whoever, children or men or women or old men or brahmanas or whoever, in the entire Vrindavan, everybody's consciousness is filled with love for Krishna, affection for Krishna and dependence on Krishna. Whenever there is calamity, they take shelter of Krishna. Right? And all these calamities will give only some special impetus to the devotees. Right? They are not afraid of calamities. They are not reluctant to experience calamities. In fact, some devotees even invite calamities so that they can take shelter of Krishna, intense shelter of Krishna. Recently, I was hearing from Radhesham Prabhu at Kanpur. He shared a nice example. First time I heard like this. There is one, I shared with somebody here also. There is one boy, he is not having any shelter, he is like an orphan. That boy is just playing cricket outside, right? And somehow he fell down and then his knee got hurt. He got a wound here. So nearby there is a hospital and there is a nurse there. And she started treating the boy, you know. Just cleaned the wound and then dressed the wound. And then while she was speaking very sweetly to the child and comforting him, showing him a lot of affection and love, made him comfortable. And the boy went. And the nurse is in her own duty. Next day, the boy again came to play cricket. And then all the children were playing cricket. And then this boy was telling his friend, I wish I have another wound today. My second knee also should be having some wound today. This is my target in my playing. And his friend said, Pagal ho gaya ka? Will anyone desire for a wound? Yesterday only you had one wound. You are desiring wound on the next knee. What is this? So, who knows the reason why he is desiring a wound? Only that boy knows. He wants the affection of... He is missing an orphan. He is missing that motherly affection. And he wants affection from that nurse. That nurse is giving him affection. Right? Motherly affection. So to get that affection from mother, to get that love and reciprocation from that nurse, motherly affection, this child is desiring another wound. Similarly, in this material nature, in this material world, every single person, conditioned soul, is an orphan. He left his father's house, father's home, and then came here. What? To undergo material existence, to undergo so many problems. So because he is an orphan, he is looking for that motherly affection, reciprocation, from the Supreme Lord. And a calamity will give him impetus to take shelter of Krishna helplessly. And Kunti Maharani is desiring for that calamity. Let the calamity come. And Vrajavasis are constantly in calamity. Every single day they are in calamity. Some demon or the other comes and then disturbs. Indraja sends some rain and Arishtasura comes, the people have miscarriages and then they are running towards Krishna. And they are happy doing it. Because all these calamities are bringing them more and more closer to Krishna. And when there is calamity and the intensity of one's remembrance of Krishna and the dependence on Krishna, that will increase. Devotees are looking for their experience. And Vrindavan is filled with these kind of experiences. These kind of devotees who are desiring to take shelter of Krishna. It's natural. Krishna Krishna iti te sarve govindam sharanam yayuhu. That makes Vrajavasi special. Bhagavan api tadvikshya gokulam bhayavidrutam ma bhaishteti girasvasya vrishasuram upahvayat.
When the Supreme Lord saw the cowherd community distraught and fleeing in fear, he calmed them, saying, "Don't be afraid." Then he called out to the bull demon as follows.
So, when a devotee is in calamity, Krishna becomes restless. Right? Bhagavan api tad vikshya gokulam bhayavidrutam. Bhayavidrutam means they are distraught in fear. Then he said, "Ma bhaishta, don't be afraid. You are fearful? I am here. Why fear? Don't be fearful. Ma bhaishteti. Gira asvasya. Gira asvasya. Very beautiful word. Gira means words. Asvasya means pacifying. He pacified them with sweet speech. When somebody is in calamity, somebody is in some difficulty or problem, different things will satisfy him. Right? Somebody is hungry, that is his difficulty. You give him food, that will satisfy him. Then somebody is painful, typhoid. You give him some medicines, then that will satisfy him. Somebody is having some other problem, you give him that. He will be satisfied. But not every calamity can be satisfied by giving the supposedly implied remedy or the solution. Many times, what is this? Avasya, asvasya gira. These pacifying words are better than the remedy that you are giving. Right? So now, actually one may not address a problem, but if he speaks in such a way that can comfort the devotee to come out of that trauma or the issue, that will be a better solution than the solution, the material solution, the external solution, the physical solution that you are giving. Right? This is an important solution to give. Pacifying words, sweet speech. First comfort him before giving. For example, somebody is hungry. Simple example I am giving. I am hungry, someone will say. Then, then you just take one pizza and then give him pizza. You give it in an indifferent way. Then he will go. Basically, his problem is addressed, but the way you address, the kind of words you speak, that becomes very important. But even if you don't have the pizza with you, somebody is coming. It's going on. Now it is, the cooking is going on. It will take 1 hour more to cook. Right? You have to make him wait. Now if he comes to you, and then you make some comforting words. Actually, it will happen. Actually, they are very fast. Today, somehow it got delayed. Right? Actually, sabji market se sabji lana thoda difficult ho gaya. So that kind of, it may be, you may not be immediately solving his problem, but you comfort him nicely. Then he will be able to handle it. He will become more comfortable than the solution that you are giving in an indifferent way. Krishna does both also here. And sometimes Krishna doesn't do both. Sometimes Krishna does only one thing, doesn't do the other thing. He may address the problem, but he may not speak. He may speak, but he may not address the problem. Sometimes he will do both. Sometimes he will not do both. He is a supremely independent person. But here he seems to be solving all problems. That doesn't mean we can think that Krishna will solve all the problems. Right? In spite of Krishna's not solving a problem, will you take shelter of him only, or you will go somewhere else? That is our problem. So that thing we need to take care. So then, don't be afraid, he said. Vrishasuram upahvayat. Right? He called out for this Vrsha. Vrsha means bull. Asuram means demon. Vrishasuram means Arishtasura. So he called him, clapping hands, come. Ayav. Right? He clapped. Chakravarti says, he clapped hands like this. Right? Ayav. Like this. Then seventh. Gopalaihi pashubhir manda. Trashitaihi kimasattama. Mayishastari dushtanam. Tadvidhanam duratmanam.
Fool, what do you think you are doing? You wicked rascal, frightening the coward community and their animals, when I am here just to punish corrupt miscreants like you.
So, tama means most wicked one, sinful, right? By calling this bull as sinful, Krishna is indicating that even if I kill you, who are in the form of a bull, I am not going to incur any sin. Otherwise, killing a bull is the greatest sin. Cow is mother, bull is father. How can you kill a bull? That is very sinful. But Krishna is indicating that this bull is sinful. Right? Tama, asat tama. You are the most wicked one, most sinful. So, killing you is not sinful. So, I am going to kill you. Anyways, like that. Next. Vai shastari dushtanam tadvidhanam duratmanam. Right? You are duratma. Miscreants. Miscreants like you are supposed to be killed. Ityaspotyachitorishtam talashabdena kopayan sakhir amshe bhujabhogam prasaryavasthito harihi.
Having spoken these words, the infallible Lord Hari slapped his arms with his palms, further angering Arista with a loud sound. The Lord then casually threw his mighty serpentine arm over the shoulder of a friend and stood facing the demon.
And that friend is Subal. Not Subal, Pran, Subal. Chakvartipa says. So having spoken these words, Lord, right? So Sakhir Amshe Bhujang Bhujabhogam. Right, Sakhi, Sakhyu, means Sakha, friend. He was putting his hand on his friend's shoulder. It's like quite confident, Krishna. He first he said, Ajav, clapping hands. Then he is very carelessly, in a candid way, he was just putting his shoulder on his friend's hand. So it's like quite embarrassing to a bull, agitating the bull. It's such a powerful demon, Mayaya, and he is not taking me very seriously, right? I am causing miscarriages. I am making earth tremble. I am just piercing the sky, and this fellow is not paying any heed to me, right? He's so reckless, so careless, right? So that is quite a big blow on Arishtasura's false ego. So pevam kupito Arishtaha. Then Kurenavanim Ullikan Udyat Puchabraman Megha Krudha Krishnam Upadravat.
Thus provoked, Arista pawed the ground with one of his hooves, and then, with the clouds hovering around his upraised tail, furiously charged Krishna.
So Kopito Arishtaha, very angry. Arishta became very angry because Krishna sufficiently agitated him. Even in Kali episode also, people don't even try to look at that lake where Kali is seeing. And Krishna went inside the lake, started swimming, right, with absolutely no fear. And how he swam, for each time people will say, do like this, right, while swimming. So for every movement of his hand, he's splashing water some hundreds of meters high. Totally with an intention to agitate Kaliya as much as possible. 1 6-year-old boy jumped into my lake and then swimming, right, and causing so much agitation while swimming. So that is also very much blowing the false ego of Arishtasur, of Kaliya there. Here he is doing that only, Krishna. So Arishta, with foam and saliva, you know, coming out from his mouth, with his upraised tail, he started charging on Krishna. Agranyasta Vishanagraha Stabdhashruglochanochyutam Katakshipyadravatturnam Indramuktoshanairyatha.
Pointing the tips of his horn straight ahead and glaring menacingly at Lord Krishna from the corners of his bloodshot eyes, Arishta rushed towards him at full speed, like a thunderbolt hurled by Indra.
So, Arishtasur agranyasta vishanagraha. Right? Like he is pointing out his horns towards Krishna. Right? Stabdha ashruk lochanaha. So he is glaring, bloody eyes. Eyes are red. Right? He is glaring. Then what is that? Achyutam, towards Krishna. Kata akshipya, looking sideways, right, with his blood eyes, he is looking like this. They are not kataksha moksham. They are not anugraha. They are not sweet glances, merciful glances. These are like fiery glances. All the queens of Dwaraka, they throw sidelong glances. Uddama bhava pishunamala valguhasa vridavaloka, sidelong glances on Krishna. Right, kava saheta viraham purushottamasya premavaloka. Premavaloka, sidelong glances. Ruchirasmita valgu chalpai. And these glances. So Krishna keeps on receiving glances from people. Right, but these are different flavor of glance. Then, turnam indramuktaha achanahi. Indramuktaha means Indra released. What? Thunderbolt. When Indra releases thunderbolt, that causes some fear in demons. So, Arishtasur was compared to thunderbolt released by Indra. So powerful. Then, Grihitva Shringayostamva Ashtadashapadanisaha Pratyapovaha Bhagavan Gajah Pratigajam Yatha.
The Supreme Lord Krishna seized Arishtasura by the horns and threw him back 18 steps, just as an elephant might do when fighting a rival elephant.
So, Krishna seized Arishtasur by the horns and threw him 18 steps. Right? What is Arishtasur in comparison to Krishna? Krishna is a small boy, cowherd boy. I don't know how many years old at this time, maybe 8, 9 years, something like that. Maximum 10, not more, right? Single digit. So Krishna is that big, and Arishtasura is such a huge demon. And the comparison given is, one elephant is fighting with another elephant, right? It's not even said that an elephant is fighting with a calf or a deer. That kind of comparison also not given. Even in terms of sizes also we can say like that. So in power, Krishna is elephant only, compared to this bull. So they are like equal power, right, in terms of comparison with elephants. But if you actually see, Krishna has millions of times more powerful than Arishtasura. Right. Next. Sopaviddho Bhagavata Punar Uthaya Satvaram Apatatsvinna Sarvango Nishvasan Krodha Murchitaha.
Thus repulsed by Supreme Lord, the bull demon got up and, breathing hard and sweating all over his body, again charged him in a mindless rage.
Charged in a mindless rage. Tamapatantam sanigrihya shringayoha Padasamakram yanipatya bhutale Nishpidayamasa yathartham ambaram Kritva vishane na jaghana sopatat.
As Arishta attacked, Lord Krishna seized him by the horns and knocked him to the ground with his foot. The Lord then thrashed him as if he were a wet cloth. And finally he yanked out one of the demon's horns and struck him with it until he lay prostrate.
So you wash your clothes, right? Right? The dhoti or whatever uttariya, you just wash. Like this. You do after washing. So or some people wash on the river banks, right? They take the dhoti or whatever sari and then do like this. So like that Krishna did with Arishtasura. As if he was a wet cloth, right? He just yanked out one of the demon's horns and struck him with it until it lay prostrate. Dandavat maro pehle. You are coming on me without offering dandavat. You are attacking me. I will break your horn, right? I will just put you like wet cloth so that you offer dandavat. If you don't voluntarily offer dandavat, Krishna will make you offer dandavat. He did that with Arishtasura. He twisted his neck like wet cloth. Twisted, neck is twisted like this. Like you do like this, right? To release water from wet cloth, Krishna did like that. So that is the power of Krishna. Ashrigvamam mutra sakrit samutsrujam. Kshipamscha padan anavasthiti kshanaha. Jagama krichram nirate rathakshayam. Pushpaihi kiranto harimidi resuraha.
Vomiting blood and profusely excreting stool and urine, kicking his legs and rolling his eyes about, Arishtasura thus went painfully to the abode of death. The demigods honored Lord Krishna by scattering flowers upon him.
So this is what has happened. Arishtasura attained liberation. And after Arishtasura attained liberation, he again gained his form as Varatantu. In his previous life, he was a disciple of Brihaspati, right? So he went back to that form. So some of the demons that Krishna killed, they either went back to the spiritual world or went back to their previous positions, right? Depending on how much is left for them in this world. So they resumed their positions, some of them. Evam kakudminam hatva stuyamana hadvijati bhi vivesha goshtam sabalo gopinam nayanotsavah. Important verse. Evam kakudminam hatva. Read.
Having thus killed the bull demon Arishta, he who is a festival for the gopis' eyes entered the covered village with Balaram.
Kakudmi. You remember this? Where? Kakustha. Then, that is in relation to Indra sitting on some bull hump, right? Indravaha, so that thing. So evam kakudminam hitva. The kakudminam is humped bull. So after killing him, stuyamana dvijati bhi. Stuyamana. Krishna is being glorified. Stavan. They are doing stavan. Sotra. They are glorifying Krishna. Who? Dvijati bhi. Dvijati bhi is what? Brahmanas. All Brahmanas are glorifying Krishna. Next. Vivesha Goshtam Sabalo. Krishna entered Vivesha. Goshtam, where? The cowherd village. Sabalo. Sabala means along with Balaram. He entered. Then Gopinam Nayanotsavaha. Gopinam. Gopis. For gopis to see Krishna is a great celebration. Nayanotsavaha. The greatest celebration of gopis is to see Krishna. Celebration for their eyes. Where else does it come? Everybody you are reciting now. Akshanvatam phalamidam na param vidama. So there is no other purpose of having eyes except to see Krishna. Venugita, 7th verse. 9th gandal said comes. Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna bhrayat kapola subhagam suvilasam. Nityotsavam natitrapur drigvih pibantyo. Naryo Narasya. What is the next? Naryo Narasya Kupita Nimesh. Mudita Kupita Nimesh. Okay, so that is the greatest celebration. Now in this one verse, small verse, four line verse, three things are mentioned. One is, evam kukudminam hitva. One, Krishna's ferocious act of killing the demon, bull demon. Second, stuyamanah dvijatibhi. Krishna is being praised by so many brahmanas. Then third, gopinam nayanotsavam. He is having reciprocation with gopis. Then he entered Gokul, that is the third line. Vivesha goshtam sabalo. So there is Sakhyarasa, right? Or Vatsalya, whatever. Balaram is also in Vatsalya. Then there is Madhurya Rasa, Gopinam Nayanotsam. There is Dasya Rasa. There is a lot of praise and reverence from the Brahmanas. And there is Virya Rasa or whatever. Virya Rasa, Bhivatsa Rasa. So many different rasas can come in the killing of Arishtasura. So Krishna, just one act, so many facets are seen. His valor is seen, his sweetness is seen, his greatness is also seen in this one verse. Only Krishna can accommodate all these kinds of flavors. And by the mercy of Krishna, a devotee also can personify this kind of multiple flavors, multifaceted personality. Krishna is multifaceted, then his devotees also can become multifaceted personalities, right? So one person to have all flavors at one in one situation only. It's not that he's having Rasleela with gopis on one side, right, the next day, and he killed on the other side, he's taking accepting praise on some other day. Not like that. All three are happening simultaneously, right? So when someone kills someone and then the blood is there, and then you appear like a big hero, right? Or whatever, big fighter. In that attire is not very attractive to someone else, right? Who is in a different, softer flavor. But here Krishna can simultaneously accommodate all of them. This is the sublime contrast of spiritual qualities within Krishna. Krishna is as hard as thunderbolt, as soft as rose, depending on one's attitude towards him. For gopis, he is Nayanotsavam. But for who is this fellow? Arishtasur, right? Hitva, he's death personified. And for Brahmanas, he's object of praise. Everything depends on one's attitude, how one approaches. So that's how Arishtasura episode is completed. So now, after Arishtasura episode, there is another very sweet episode. Arishte nihate daitye, Krishnenadbhuta karmana, कम्सायाथाह भगवान् नारदो देवदर्शनः.
After Arishtasura had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narad Muni went to speak to King Kamsa. That powerful sage of godly vision addressed the king as follows.
After Arishtasura had killed Krishna, had been killed by Krishna, my God. Who acts wonderfully? Adbhuta Karmana. Then, next scene begins. But after Arishtasura had been killed by Krishna, stop there and go to the next page. In the next page onwards, there are 20 verses. 20 verses from this. What is that? Chakvartipad quotes these verses. From the Puranas, it is said. Okay, which Purana is not mentioned here? But different Puranas say. We have, I think this is also mentioned in Gopal Champu also. So after Arishtasura has been killed, Krishna went for this pastimes with gopis. But the gopis were not accepting him. Hare, you killed a bull. Then Krishna said, that's a demon. He is in the form of a bull, gopis said. But still he is a demon. No, he is in the form of a bull. So gopis are highlighting his body. Krishna is highlighting his soul, nature, not soul, but the subtle body. Krishna is focusing on the subtle body, gopis are focusing on the gross body. Gross body is in the form of bull, subtle body, his intelligence, ego and mind are corrupted with, lot of malice, malicious intentions. So gopis said, you cannot come to us, you cannot associate with us, right? we banish you, or what to say, we don't want to associate with you, you don't touch us, like that they were saying. So that's a very beautiful discussion that happens, which all of you are aware, all of you have heard it so many times, but we will very briefly go through in few minutes only. So Krishna, don't touch us from now, they say like that. That after this argument, the gopis say that you have to purify yourself of this sin. You have to do atonement. The sixth canto, first section only, says atonement is like Kunjara Sochavat. Right? And Krishna's holy name can remove, is equivalent to all atonements. What is that? Chirna Nishkritaha. Right, chanting holy name is like, is considered all atonements. One is considered to have done all atonements by chanting holy name, right? And now that holy name, the possessor of that holy name, Krishna, whose holy name is that? Krishna's holy name. And that Krishna says, Krishna is supposed to do atonement now, because Gopis said you have to atone. Krishna agreed. Gopis said you are sinful. Krishna said, okay, I am sinful, okay, I will atone. So that is, anyone cannot say that. So different people at different levels can say something, to people of different levels. Now Subalpran Prabhu can say something to you, Nitya Chaitanya Prabhu. Someone who is 10 years younger to you, he may say something, you may not take him seriously. And what he does becomes an offense towards you, right? But your friend can say something. Although it is wrong accusation also, still he has that authority or privilege to tease you or to say something, right, which you are not entitled for. The gopis are very dear devotees of Krishna. They can say that Krishna is sinful. Krishna, you are sinful. You have become sinful. You have to atone. They can say. And now Krishna takes that seriously also. Okay, I will take bath in holy rivers. But you have to take bath in so many rivers. Okay, I'll take a bath in so many rivers. But I will not go there. I will call them here. How will you call rivers? You will do some magic or what? How can you do that? And Krishna calls the rivers, and then all of them will come. So who are they? They are like different Sona, Sindhu, Tamraparni, Pushkara. There are so many such rivers. Godavari, Yamuna, Saraswati, all of them will come. So after purifying himself by bathing, Lord Hari became quite arrogant and said, now, after Krishna became humble initially, after purifying himself in this Shyamakund, which is filled by the waters of all these rivers, who arrived at the order of Krishna, Krishna came out and said, now you have taken the side of a bull. Right? You said, I have killed a bull. And although I said demon, you did not agree to me. But you have taken the side of a bull and you have become contaminated. Right? So you should take bath in holy places. See, I have created this kund. You come and take bath. Then gopis say that because you have taken bath here, this kund has accumulated all the sinful actions, sinful reactions of yourself. So we will not take bath. This is contaminated. We will make our own kund. Then they have made their own kund. By their small bangles and some small things, and then they started digging. Somehow they managed to dig where Arishtasura's hoof was there. And they tried to fill. Then Krishna said, you can take my water, Shyamakund. I to de saktam, main data hu. You may be data, we will not take it. You may be data or dhata, but we will not take. So they started transferring water from Mansi Ganga. But how much they will do? Tender gopis. So seeing their great efforts, right, the personified holy places. So he came. Where is it? At the nearby spot, all the gopis began digging. Okay, go ahead, lotus eyed one. Okay. Next, I have countless gopi companions. Bring the water of the Mansi Ganga here in billions of pots. In this way, I will fill this lake with my own water and thus make it renowned, equal in the entire world. So, Krishna then gestured to the heavenly personality, who was an intimate associate of all the holy places. Suddenly, that person rose up of Krishna's pond and bowed down to daughter of Rishabhanu, Srimati Radharani. Then with folded palms, he made a proposal to Srimati Radharani. What is that? Devi tadiya mahimanam avaiti sarva shastrartha vinna cha vidur naharona lakshmi kintveka eva purushartha siro amanistvat prasvedamarjana para svayameva krishna. Read translation.
It is, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories, nor can Lord Shiva or Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the supreme goal of all human endeavor, can understand them. And thus he feels obliged to personally make sure that you can wash away your perspiration when you are fatigued.
So, Srimati Radharani's glories cannot be understood by anyone. Devi tvadiya mahimanam avaiti sarva shastrarthavin. People may understand all scriptures, sarva shastrarthavin, but they cannot understand the glories of Srimati Radharani. Whoever, who has that capacity? Only Krishna has. Because Krishna is controlled by Radharani's love. So all these are mentioned. So after that, Radharani agrees to this holy place is personified and allows him to fill the waters of Radhakund. And Radhakund is filled. And Krishna said, this Radhakund is very dear to me in the entire cosmic manifestation. So like that sweet pastime happens. So that is the scene after the killing of Arishtasura. So after this, what happened was, Kamsa, Narada Muni went to Kamsa. So why Krishna is called Adbhuta Karmana here? Definitely Krishna is Adbhuta Karmana for killing Arishtasura. Krishna is definitely Adbhuta Karmana because he has created Shyamkund. He managed to fill the waters of Radhakund also, right, by inspiring that holy places personified person. But Krishna is Adbhuta Karmana also because he inspired Narada Muni to go to Kamsa and reveal the news, which Kamsa was not aware so far. So Kamsa just heard from the Akashvani that Devaki's 8th child will kill you. And apparently, to Kamsa's vision, Devaki's 8th child turned out to be a girl. And that girl became Durga and then said that that 8th child is going somewhere, and then she disappeared. And Kamsa had no other clue. He was totally in confusion. Where is that 8th child? Who will kill me? Who will kill me? Right? He is not aware of Krishna's identity till now. And why Krishna kept Kamsa in ignorance so far? So that Kamsa can gather all these demoniac fellows and then send towards Krishna, and Krishna can kill them. Just imagine if Krishna had not killed all of them 5,000 years back and they are alive till now, and what will happen to us? Such powerful demons should not be allowed to stay. Right? They are not meant to be in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga flavor of demon should be very small. Right? So Kali Yuga demons should not be as powerful as Ravana. They can just make some feeble attempts to go to moon only. They cannot attempt to have a staircase to heavenly planets like Ravana did, or Arishtasura and all. So Kali Yuga people cannot handle it. So Krishna killed all of them. So Krishna, after killing all these demons one by one, who are being sent by Kamsa every day, Krishna inspired Narada Muni to go and meet Kamsa, right? So this Narada Muni is called here as Deva Darshanaha, right? So this Deva Darshanaha Narada Muni went to Kamsa, who was sitting on a white throne, and that white throne of Kamsa is stolen from Indra. All these demons have a lot of stolen property, right? So Kamsa, he has been hearing the news of killing of so many demons, beginning from Potana, Shakatasura, Trinavarta, Aghasura, Bhagasura, etc. Now Arishtasura. So Narada Muni came there. He is called Devadarshana for various reasons. One, Narada Muni is Devadarshana because by seeing Narada Muni, one will seeing Narada Muni is as good as seeing Devas, demigods. Second, Devadarshana can also mean Narada Muni has attained Devas Darshan. Supreme Lord's darshan. Or seeing Narada Muni is as good as seeing the Supreme Lord. Right, in term, because he is a pure representative of the Lord. For all these reasons, Narada Muni is called Deva Darshanaha. Right. Getting audience of Narada Muni is as good as getting God's audience. This is the richness of Bhagavatam's language. Within one word, it can have multiple meanings, all bona fide. It can have multiple meanings, but one cannot speculate some meaning which is not in line with the parampara. Right? So one may give different meanings based on his Sanskrit knowledge to a verse in Bhagavatam. Right? But he has to be in a bona fide parampara. Vishwanath Chakravarti Tagore can explain all this. Prabhupada can explain. Right? There is one word called Sattvatampati in the first canto. So Sattvatampati, Sat means absolute truth. Sattvan means one who possesses that absolute truth by dint of their devotional service, their devotees. Absolute truth is Krishna, Sat. Sattvan means the devotees of the Lord. Sattvatam means again devotees. Sat means absolute truth. Sattvata means one who have understood the absolute truth. And Sattvatampati is the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of those who have understood the absolute truth. There is another meaning. Sat means devotees. Jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya varta. Sat means pure devotees. Satvan means one who possesses the devotees. That is Supreme Lord. Then Sattvataha means devotees who are servants of their Satvan. Sattvatampati, he means again the Lord of those devotees. Who possess that Satvan? Who is the master of Sat? See, this is the richness of Bhagavatam's language. Next. And that is Kamsa's predicament. And Narada Muni went there and revealed to him the news or the position of this Krishna and Balaram. Now, what happened was Kamsa was in so much of anxiety in searching this eighth child. Who is that eighth child? Male child. So Kamsa once told Ugrasena and Vasudev. There's a big assembly where this is from Garga Samhita, right? Garga Samhita or Harivamsa, one of them. So all these people have assembled. So Kamsa went there for a meeting. Sabha, right? Raja Sabha is there. Then Krishna has been killing, Kamsa was telling, Krishna has been killing so many demons, right? Putana, Sakatasur, Bakasur, Tranavarta, Aghasur, Arishtasur, all these fellows. And all these people are being killed by one boy in Vrindavan village. Okay. Next, he says, previously, in my earlier births, I have been killed by Vishnu so many times. Kamsa knows all this. And now, Krishna as a Gopala is killing all these demons. And he's just nothing but a cowherd boy. And is that boy Krishna or Vishnu? Vishnu came as that boy and killing all these demons or what? Because Vishnu is known to change his forms and kill some demons. He quotes the example of Vamandev. Vishnu came in the form of Vamana, went to Bali Maharaj and then begged some land and then subdued Bali. So Vishnu is a great cheater. And Vishnu came in the form of a human being, went to Ravana's kingdom and then killed him, right? Although he's a great Rakshasa. So Vishnu is known to kill so many demons. Is this boy in Vrindavan who is killing all these demons, is he Vishnu? He's saying like that. Then later, this Kamsa started blaming all these people, Ugrasena and all. Ugrasena, you are my father, right? You are being and later he praised the talents of Ugrasena, Vasudev and all the Andhaka and so many people around, right? He praised their talents. Although so many skillful people, talented people are around me, still you have done nothing for my protection. Because he is so frustrated with his attempts to protect himself by employing his friends. He's seeing only failures. He's losing confidence. Now he started blaming his associates. Right? All of you have not done anything for my protection. In spite of your presence, I am in difficulty. And son of Nanda Maharaj is growing year by year and trying to cut off the roots of our existence. Who is he? Is he a superhuman? Is he God? Is he Vishnu? He is saying like that. So some Kamsa is totally in bewilderment and frustration now. Then later he started diverting the topic to Vasudev. Vasudev, you are such a degraded person, right? So because of you I am having all the problems, right? Your son will be the cause of my death. So like that he started blaming Vasudev, and he uses much more strong words. I have mentioned them somewhere. So he blasphemes Vasudev. He says, between me and Krishna there is unending enmity. Only if someone tries to remove the enmity, Yadavas will have peace. Now he will say, on my order, let this Danapati go. Danapati is who? Akrura. Akrura should go and kill and bring Krishna and Balram here. Okay, they should be they should be brought to Gokul, brought to Mathura, and should be killed by me, right? So that is his plan. He is saying in front of everybody. So what Narada Muni revealed and what made this fellow Kamsa become so fiery is that Narada Muni, Kamsa reveals that to one person who takes care of the elephants. What does he say? Mahapatra. Right? Mahapatra. So he is the person who is called, who is taking care of the elephants. So Kamsa reveals all this news to him. What was the background? Kamsa is apparently the son of Ugrasena. And he is actually not the son of Ugrasena. So Kamsa's mother, he happens to go to her father's house when she was young, new marriage. Kamsa was not born. So seeing the beauty of that mother of Kamsa, one demon called Drumila, right? One demon called Drumila came there, and he changed his form as Ugrasena and associated with her and impregnated her. And after that is gone, after that union happened, this Drumila changed his form as demon only. Then this lady got bewildered. Kamsa's mother got bewildered. Who are you? Right? You have spoiled my chastity like this. He said, we are asuras. We don't have such rules and regulations. Whomever we like, we associate. And to associate, whichever form we like, we will take that form. Right? Now, by my mercy, you will get a great son who is demoniac. Then she was in utter shame and bewilderment, and then she was lost, and then out of shame she could not reveal this news to anyone also. Right? Eventually Kamsa was born with demoniac qualities. He is actually son of the demon, not son of Ugrasena. So all this was revealed to Kamsa. So Kamsa is not the son of Ugrasena, he is not belonging to this dynasty actually. That is revealed to him. Secondly, that comes in the 16th verse. After 16th verse, we can discuss more. No, 17th verse. Narada Muni tells, Yashodaya Sutam Kanyam Devakyah Krishnam Evacha Ramam Charohini Putram Vasudevena Vibhyatam Nyastau Swamitre Ninadevai Nandevai Yabhyam Te Purushahata.
Narada told Kamsa, Yashoda's child was actually a daughter, and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Also, Ram is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudeva entrusted Krishna and Balram to his friend Nanda Maharaj. And it is these two boys who have killed your men.
So now he is revealing the news. What is the news? Yashodayah Sutam Kanyam. Actually, Yashoda's daughter, Yashoda had a daughter, not son, Krishna. Second, Devakyaha Krishnameva evacha. Devaki is the mother of Krishna, not Yashoda. Then third, Ramam cha Rohini Putram. And who is this Balaram, the elder brother of Krishna? He is Rohini Putram, son of Rohini, who is the wife of Vasudeva only. Then Vasudevena Bibhyata. Because Vasudev was afraid, he has shifted his sons to his friend's house. Nyastau Swamitre Nandevai. He is making Balaram and Krishna grow in his friend's house, that is Nandamara's house. So, Yabhyam Te Purushahataha. That these two boys only have killed all the demons that you have been sending to Vrindavan. Okay? So, this is the news. Just in one verse, Narada Muni changed the whole scene only. Completely changed. He revealed the news to Kamsa. Then Kamsa became so angry, he went into the assembly and he chastised everyone. Right, you are not doing anything for my protection. And he blasphemed Vasudev. Then one of these personalities called Andhaka, he rose up and admonished Kamsa. You Kamsa, you dare to chastise Vasudev like this? Are you admonishing Vasudev because of his sons? Therefore, your criticism is empty talk. I strongly condemn your words. Even if the son is terrible, a father cannot act cruelly to him. A father is always prepared to face difficulties and dangers for the sons. So Vasudev's protecting his sons is quite good, right? Quite natural. So Andhaka is taking the side of Vasudev. If Vasudev has acted improperly by protecting his son, then did Ugrasena not kill you when you were a child? Then why did Ugrasena did not kill you when you were a child? It's a very important statement. So you are saying that you are blaspheming Vasudeva for protecting his children. Then you should blaspheme Ugrasena also for protecting you. Right? Ugrasena did not kill his son, which is you. Then how can Vasudeva kill their sons? Vasudeva kill his sons, Krishna and Balaram. That's why he protected. That is quite natural for him. So like that, with argument, he kind of defeated him. And he chastised Kamsa like anything. And Kamsa said, you hate your own people. Like that, he blasphemed Andhaka and so many people. And then my plan is like this. I am going to bring Krishna and Balaram here through Akrura and then kill them. Right? There is no change in my plan. So he left. Next, 18th verse. Nishamyatat bhojapatihi kopat prachalitendriyaham nishatam asimadattam vasudeva jighamsayam.
Upon hearing this, the master of Bhojas became furious and lost control of his senses. He picked up a sharp sword to kill Vasudev.
So he tried to kill Vasudev also. That's another thing. Now let's see what Narada Muni does. Nivarito Naradena Tatsutau Mrityumatmanaha Gnatva Lohamayai Pashair Babandhasaha Bharyayam.
But Narada restrained Kamsa by reminding him that it was the two sons of Vasudev who would cause his death. Kamsa then had Vasudev and his wife shackled in iron chains.
So Narada Muni restrained Kamsa, right, by reminding him that it is not these two people, Vasudev and Devaki, are not killing you. Their sons are killing you. Their sons will kill you. So you should focus on them. So Narada Muni apparently acted against Vasudev and Devaki. Narada Muni apparently acted in favor of Kamsa. Right? So Narada Muni nicely revealed the entire secret to Kamsa. So Kamsa must be grateful to Narada Muni, right? Apparently, because of Narada Muni's revealing the news only, Vasudev and Devaki were imprisoned now. And Kamsa was about to kill them also. Narada Muni stopped them. You know what Narada Muni said? Narada Muni said, if you kill Vasudev and Devaki, their sons, Krishna and Balaram, will run away out of fear of the great personality like Kamsa. Right? They will run away and you will not be able to kill them. Right? Keep them alive If you want, you can imprison them also, no problem, but keep them alive so that Krishna and Balaram can come to Mathura and you can kill them. Right? That is the diplomacy of Narada Muni. There is expertise of Narada Muni. He knows how to deal with whom. So saying that, he protected Vasudeva and Devaki. So he is not acting against the interests of Devaki and Vasudeva, because later Vasudeva and Devaki express their gratitude, profuse gratitude to Narada Muni and blessings to Narada Muni. And Vasudeva and Devaki, who are they? They are the eternal parents of Krishna. Narada Muni is a devotee of Krishna. Apparently, he is acting against them, right? It's not that he is offending them. He is actually serving them. Because Narada Muni revealed this news to Kamsa, Kamsa sent Akrura and Krishna and Balaram came to Vrindavan, came to Mathura and gave association to Vasudeva and Devaki. Actually, Vasudeva and Devaki were in intense separation from Krishna and Balaram for the last 10 years. So Narada Muni's revealing this news helped them to mitigate their separation. So Narada Muni actually reunited Krishna Balaram and Devaki Vasudeva. So he acted very much in favor of Vasudeva and Devaki. He is not, apparently people will misunderstand them. Those who are sentimentally watching the movie of Krishna, right, may condemn Narada Muni. Narada Muni, my God, he's friend of Kamsa or what? He is a lover of Jagada, quarrel lover, right? That is the impression that people will have. But the kind of quarrel that he created here is actually benefiting all the devotees in Mathura, right? They have been waiting, they have been longing to see Krishna. So Narada did not act inimically. All this we have discussed. Now, why Narada Muni acted like this? Did he consult Krishna?
No.
Narada Muni is acting independently. Right? He did not go and meet Krishna. Now, in the next chapter, Narada Muni will go and meet Krishna. Krishna, I have revealed the news to Kamsa, right, that you are the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Enough of your Vrindavan Leelas, go to Dwarka. Go to Mathura. People are waiting for you there. That's how he said. That shows how a devotee is in perfect sync with Super Soul and Krishna. In the previous verse, if you remember, Krishna Adbhuta Karmanaha. That Adbhuta Karmana is referring to Krishna's inspiring Narada Muni from within. Although apparently there is no meeting between Narada Muni and Krishna, apparently there is no proposal kept from given from Narada Muni's side to Krishna. Narada Muni did not propose to Krishna that, oh, I am going to reveal to Kamsa, is it okay with you? Right? Will you approve or disapprove? He didn't say like that. He didn't give that a proposal. And he never received an order also from Krishna. Krishna did not send a letter to Narada Muni. I think now you can go and tell. Right? So, from the inspiration that Narada Muni got from within, right, Super Soul or whatever, he went and informed Kamsa. So Krishna came to reduce the burden of this material world and to reciprocate with his devotees. So Krishna reduced the burden of this material world by killing so many demons in Vrindavan. Now there is a lot of burden in Mathura also. There is a lot of burden because of the so many other kings. For that, Krishna has to come to this Mathura, right? And Krishna reciprocated with his devotees. There is another reason for his arrival, descent. Krishna reciprocated for 10 years with all the devotees at Vrindavan. Now he has to reciprocate with the devotees in Mathura also. Now these people are waiting for Krishna. So Narada Muni knows all this. The purpose of Krishna's descent is to reciprocate with these devotees and to kill the demons. He already did these two activities in Vrindavan. Now he has to do them at Mathura. Mathura may be devotees, na? So he acted in favor of Mathura devotees. So now Narada Muni is reminding this to Krishna, right? And making all, Narada Muni goes and reminds things to Krishna after killing Keshi, and says, now you have to shift to Mathura. And Krishna did not get offended also. I know what to do, right? I know when to shift to Mathura. You don't have to unnecessarily intrude. Because Narada Muni is such an advanced devotee, he can act in favor of Krishna, he can even remind Krishna, he can even say that, Krishna, this is what you have to do. And Krishna doesn't have false ego. Generally, if we know, if we are the knower of something, if someone comes and reminds us, Pataya Meruku, you don't have to tell me. Right? We might get offended. Now see Krishna's humility. Krishna is not getting offended because Narada Muni came and reminded. Bina puch ke bata diya usko. He didn't even say that. Narada Muni is in perfect sync with Krishna's intentions. And even our false ego is so bad that even if someone else is in perfect sync with our intentions also, we sometimes get offended if someone reminds us, someone tells us what to do, someone arranges things in such a way that we can go and do some things. I never instructed you to do these things. I never told you to make all these arrangements. I can do it on my own. That is our ego. Right? We may not allow a person to do it. We may not accept a reminder. But Krishna is accepting. And Narada Muni is in perfect sync with Krishna. That is connection with Paramatma. Now we are confused whether our mind is misguiding us or Paramatma is giving us direction for our welfare. Right? Because we don't have that clarity of thought. Who is speaking from within? Confusion. Right? Be in sync with Paramatma. Paramatma bol rahe, yara, mera man bol rahe, mera intelligence bol rahe, my false ego is saying. It's a little difficult for us to discriminate many times. That's why we need a guru. But Narada Muni is perfectly in line with Krishna. Right? But Narada has absolutely no confusion. He is 100% sure that Krishna wants this to happen through me. He is confident. He can just go tell Narada Muni, tell Kamsa and then change the whole situation. In one chapter, in few verses, the whole scene is changed. Vrindavan people, they are in ecstasy so far, and now Krishna is going out of Vrindavan. Right? That will come very soon. So, we see that so many experienced devotees take bold steps in service of Krishna, and their ideas and plans work. Apparently, we may not comprehend. Apparently, we may not understand why he is taking this kind of decision. Right? It may not appear logical to us. It may not appear logical to someone who is watching a movie where in one scene Narada Muni is telling Kamsa. Right? They may misunderstand Narada Muni. But pure devotees will not misunderstand Narada Muni. Because Narada Muni knows the purpose for which Krishna descended. Narada Muni knows the melancholy and miserable state of all the devotees in Mathura. Because in Mathura, because of Kamsa's fear, everybody went away from Mathura. They ran away. Because Kamsa is engaging all these people in such abominable activities. He's bossing over them, he's ruling them, he's torturing them. Right? So they just left Mathura and then went to different places. Only few people like Akrura, Ugrasena, and there are a few people. They are with Kamsa, along with Kamsa, tolerating this fellow's heinous deeds. They stayed at Mathura, waiting for Krishna to come. Lot of tapasya all the devotees at Mathura have done. Narada Muni knows all this. So Narada Muni, being favorable to them, he revealed this to Kamsa. Narada Muni did not act against the interests of Yashodamayi or Nanda Maharaj. Apparently, poor Akrura is the cause of Krishna's going out of Vrindavan. But actually, Narada Muni is the cause. Not many people know this. Gopis cursed Narada Muni. Gopis cursed Akrura. Gopis criticized Akrura. He's Krura, not Akrura. Did he come to take away our lives? And later when Uddhava comes to Vrindavan, all the gopis say, did that Akrura come back again? He has taken our lives away. Now he has came to see our dead bodies or what? That's how gopis became upset with Akrura. But actually, who turned the story? What is the turning point there? When did that intermission card came, slide? That is all because of Narada Muni. Narada Muni is in the background, innocent. Like that. So we need to keep trust on the decisions or the directions of experienced devotees. Narada Muni is an experienced devotee. We may not be able to understand their intentions, but they are perfectly in connection with the Paramatma. Their intelligence is better than my intelligence. Their intelligence is more spiritual than my intelligence. By following the process of Krishna consciousness, one spiritualizes one's intelligence. One purifies one's mind. And one starts identifying himself as a devotee of Krishna, not as a devotee of Maya. So the transformation in one's subtle body happens by regular practice of devotional service. So we have practiced devotional service to some extent, and we have brought some transformation in our subtle body. Our mind, intelligence, ego are purified to a certain extent. But someone who has practiced for a longer time, his subtle body, his mind, intelligence, ego have been purified and spiritualized much more than ours. Our experience is this much. Our purification is this much. And their purification is this much. So, seek guidance. Apparently, our material intelligence cannot understand the schemes of a superior person whose intelligence is more spiritual than us. So, we should not ridicule them. Kya bol rahe yaar? It doesn't make sense to me. One may think like that. Although it doesn't make sense to you, if you do it, then you will spiritualize your intelligence. That is the way of spiritualizing your intelligence. My intelligence has become this spiritual by practicing this process, and his intelligence has become that spiritual, right? And how do I may spiritualize my intelligence or ego or whatever, mind? By taking shelter of his instructions. If with my material intelligence, if I evaluate his spiritual instructions, then I lose the opportunity to spiritualize my intelligence and mind. Right? So this is very important, taking guidance from advanced souls. Because advanced souls are in connection with Krishna the way Narada Muni is in connection with Krishna. Krishna approved Narada Muni's activity without Narada Muni's proposing. Before approval, there is a proposal, right? Here there is no proposal, there is action only. But it is approved. It is pre-approved before proposing only. That is the power of a mature Vaishnava. Only unfortunate people will neglect the experience of Vaishnava. Next, after Narada Muni left, King Kamsa summoned Keshi and ordered him, go and kill Rama and Krishna. Right, Balram and Krishna, you kill. Then the king of Bhojas next called for his ministers, headed by Mushtika, Chanura, Shala, Toshala, and also for his elephant keepers. The king addressed them as follows. 12:10, right? We have class till 1:30. Oh, fine. We'll take a break. Hare Krishna. Storyline only. No target. Whatever happens. To find out who is that child, he doesn't know Krishna's identity. He doesn't know that Krishna is the eighth child of Devaki. But he knows Krishna is a powerful man, and then he has been killing demons. And also, when demons are getting killed, the news is coming to Mathura in a distorted form. Some people are thinking that Balramji killed so and so. Some people are thinking that Krishna killed. Okay. And some demons like Arista, Aghasur came because he also had his personal envy because Krishna killed his brother and sister. Right. And Krishna, Kamsa has been searching for who can kill him. Right? That's why he's sending demons everywhere. And there is a suspicion that he might kill. Right? Suspicion. No, it's confirmation. He is the HA. So he called the elephant keepers also. Tato mushtika chanura saratoshaladikan amatyan hastipams chaiva samahuyaha bhojarat. Bhojarat is king of bhojas. So there is one meeting amongst all these wrestlers with Kamsa. That is Shala, Toshala, Kuta, Chanura, Mushtika. These are all the powerful wrestlers of Kamsa. And elephant keepers. There is Mahamatra, I discussed, right? Mahapatra. Mahapatra, Mahamatra, one of them. So he is also very important. You see, in Bhumi Gita, in the 12th canto, Mother Earth laments for all these kings. There, she says, all these kings with their ministers and soldiers and all this, and along with elephant keepers, like that she says. Elephant keeper? Why he is such a notable person? It seems elephant keeper is also very important in a kingdom. Because Kamsa had a very special meeting with this elephant keeper of Kovalyapeda. So Kovalyapeda is being managed by one fellow. So, Kamsa reveals all his previous history to that fellow, that elephant keeper, Mahapatra, Mahamatra, something like that. So, they are also quite significant people in a kingdom, elephant keepers. They are not ordinary, right? They are also important for a king, it seems so. Now, after calling everybody, there is a meeting. Bhobo nisham yatam etad. वीरचाणूरमुष्टिकौ नन्दव्रजे किलासाते सुतावानगदुन्दुभेः रामकृष्णो ततो मह्यं मृत्युः किल निदर्शितः भवद्भ्याम् इह सम्प्राप्तौ हीन्यतां मल्ललीलया.
My dear heroic Chanur and Mushtik, please hear this. Ram and Krishna, the son of Anakdundubi, Vasudeva, are living in Nanda's covered village. It has been predicted that these two boys will be the cause of my death. When they are brought here, kill them on the pretext of engaging them in a wrestling match.
So, Kamsa has been quite transparent in his plans with all these wrestlers, with all the assembly members. And with Akrura also. But he wanted to keep it secret with Vrajavasis, Nanda Maharaj. He can't say, I'm going to kill you, bring them here. Not like that. But he's revealing plan to his own people. Right. He's making a very pakka plan. Good manager. Then, Manchaha Kriyatam Vidha. Manchaha kriyantam vidva mallaranga paristhira parishrita paurajana pada sarve pashyantau svaira samyugam.
Erect a wrestling ring with many surrounding weaving stands and bring all the residents of the city and the outlying districts to see the open competition.
So invite everyone. Make a studio. What is that called? Studio or auditorium? Stadium. Stadium. I separated both. Stadium. Make a stadium where this wrestling match happens. Okay. You should have proper places where different people can sit. What is that called? Gallery. Right? Gallery, right? Different sections in a stadium where different people, different kinds of people sit. All the janta will sit in a different area. All the dignitaries and guests and different people will sit. Similarly, Kamsa had made a stadium where he had one section for Vrajavasis, one section for Devaki, Vasudeva and their family members, one section for someone else. So like that he has made a big stadium. That will come in the after 40th chapter. Next. Mahamatra Tvaya Bhadram Rangadvaryupaniyatam Dvipahkvalaya Pido Jihite Namahahito.
You, elephant keeper, my good man, should position the elephant Kuvalaya Pid at the entrance to the wrestling arena and have him kill my two enemies.
See, Kamsa's plan, I'll summarize now, is that to send Akrura, who is well known as a very saintly person and a gentle person. When Akrura says something in a very pleasing way, people believe him, people trust him. He can attract trust, right? So he wants to send Akrura to bring Krishna and Balram. Okay. That's one. So after they come here, before they come here, he wants to send Kamsa, Keshi and Vyoma to kill Krishna and Balram in Vrindavan only, before even they reach here. So if that plan fails, they will be brought to Vrindavan, Mathura. So at Mathura, he will, at the entrance gate only, he will keep Kuvalaya Pida, so that Kuvalaya Pida can kill them. If that plan also fails, they will enter the wrestling arena, where Chanura and Mushtika will kill them. If they also fail, he has other wrestlers called Shala Toshala Kuta. Then he can, they can kill them. If they also fail, Kamsa himself is anyways there. Also, there is lack of confidence in him. Still, he is making a very pakka plan. Right? Apparently, one may seem to be managing things in a very expert way, very wonderful way, but inside there is some shallowness that is pulling him in. Right? That is one's conditionings, one's mistakes, one's lowly nature. Externally, the show of management is going on nicely. Expertise is seen there. Pakka management. And all this he, on what pretext he should call them? Dhanuryagya. He wants to begin a sacrifice. For a sacrifice, if you invite, nobody can deny. Right? And he also wants to call different people from different villages. Right? It's a big mela. Right? Big Dhanuryagya is happening. We hold competitions, wrestling competitions. We give prizes and awards and certificates to different people who win in this competition. This kind of show he is making. Right? Apparently, it's a very pakka plan. But internally, he is being eaten because of his lowly nature. Right? Because he is lacking confidence. When Krishna pulled that string of that bow and that bow broke, this is also Shivadhanu only. Ram broke one bow and Krishna broke another bow in that Dhanuryagya. Then that shattered Kamsa like anything. And there's one like big section describing Kamsa, what all Kamsa went through. Right? What all hallucinations he has seen, what all dreams he had. He will go in front of a mirror, he doesn't see his head. Hey, very bad, very bad. So he just gets little and he sees himself bathed in oil. All this kind of scenes he sees. So one's apparent managing of things externally will not make him internally secure. Right? Internally that fear is always there in Kamsa. And we also may think that things are happening nicely. Right? In my monthly review I got all wonderful ratings. In my self-assessment card I get 50 out of 50 in every exam and I finish my chanting before 7 o'clock. I do this, I do that. Apparently, things are seen that they are clean. But kitna kachra hai? How much dirt is there inside, the person knows, and the super soul knows more. And an experienced person can identify that also. So, one's apparent success is not actually success. So what is success is having internal satisfaction and a mood of dedication, attitude. That attitude gives satisfaction. Even if, you know, in the self-assessment card, like out of 31 numbers, if some 4 or 5 numbers are missing, some absence are there, not 50, maybe 40 or 35, that's okay. If the person is blissful, he did his best like that. But apparently if someone focuses more on filling the self-assessment card, I'm not discouraging you to fill, that is not the message. What I'm saying is, that is the only example that is relevant for you, right? But we can have some other examples. A manager is there, he's managing the show very nicely, he's organizing, very expert organizer, or someone else may do something else in a very organized way. But he may not, at the end of the day, he may not feel that satisfaction if he has some internal, you know, malice, right? Now, Mahamatra he calls, elephant keeper, and then keeps them. I have just summarized, now we will continue. आरभ्यताम धनुर्यागास चतुर्दश्याम यथा विधि वससंतु पशून मेध्यान भूतराजाय मीढुषे.
Commence the bow sacrifice on the Chaturdashi day in accordance with the relevant Vedic injunctions. In ritual slaughter, offer the appropriate kinds of animal to the magnanimous Lord Shiva.
Mm. So behead goats, right? Behead chicken. Huh? So these are the different kinds of sacrifices they have. Next. Ityagna pyartha tantragna. Ahuya yadupungavam. Grihitva panina panim. Tato kruram uvajaha.
Having thus commanded his ministers, Kamsa next called for Akrura, the most eminent of the Yadus. Kamsa knew the art of securing personal advantage, and thus he took Akrura's hand in his own and spoke to him as follows.
Iti agnapaya, after ordering this elephant keeper and all these wrestlers, right? Artha tantra gnaha. So this Kamsa is described as Artha and Tantragna. So he knows how to manipulate people, the doctrines, how to take personal advantage of situations, how to get favors from people in a nice way, expert way, all that he knows. He knows Artha and Kama. He doesn't know Dharma and Moksha. Right? So first and last he doesn't know. Middle two, he is very expert. So what he did, he called Akrura. Grihitva panina panim, with his hands, he took the hands of Akrura, right? And then told very sweetly, my dear Akrura, can you go and bring Krishna and Balram? Right, he's calling, he's speaking, see. Bhobhodanapate mahyam, kriyatam maitramadrita, nanyastatto hitatamo, vidyate bhoja vrishnishu.
My dear Akrura, most charitable one, please do me a friendly favor out of respect. Among the bhojas and vrishnis, there is no one else as kind to us as you.
Bho bho danapate mahyam. So you are danapati, charitable one. Give me one charity. Right. One way of seeking a personal favor is glorifying the other fellow, flattering him. अरे आप तो क्या क्या नहीं कर सकते प्रभु, can't you do this? he says like that or what? Okay, fine, I didn't know that. That's a coincidence. So bho bho danapate mahyam, so you are a great danapati, give me one dan. What is that? Also he says, there is no one as kind as you. Na anyat tatto hitatamo. Right? Hitatamo. One who acts most favorably is you only. No one else can compare with you. So, atastvam ashtritas saumya. Karyagaurava sadhanam. यथेन्द्रो विष्णुमाश्रित्य स्वार्थम अत्यगमद्विभुः.
Gentle Akrura, you always carry out your duty soberly and therefore I am depending on you. Just as powerful Indra took shelter of Lord Vishnu to achieve his goals.
He is comparing himself with Indra and Akrura with Vishnu. Right? And considering Vishnu as his enemy. Getting right? So people can give any kind of comparisons to get their things done. Okay? This is a motivated glorification. This is not a pure glorification. This is not a genuine appreciation of Akrura's qualities. It's not a Vaishnava glorification. Okay.
Gachanandavrajam
tatra sutav anakadundubhe asatetav ihanena rathenananyamachiram.
Please go to Nanda's village where the two sons of Anak Dundubi are living and without delay bring them here on this chariot.
So bring Krishna and Balram here, sons of Anak Dundubi. Now I came to know that Krishna and Balram are Vasudeva's sons. You should bring them. See, here is your new chariot, brand new. Right? This is not used by anyone. Take it. So Akrura is innocent in heart. If Kamsa's intention is, if I say that this is new chariot, if I give him a new chariot, he will be enthused to go. Right? When you say when you give something new, people are enthused to use it. So like that, people get more excited to use something new. So Kamsa, out of his poor intelligence, he thought that Akura will be excited to ride a new chariot to go and bring Krishna and Balram. But why Akrura got excited is that good that Kamsa gave a new chariot and not the used chariot. Right? This stupid fellow has used so many chariots, and if he gives his Maha chariot, I can't use it for bringing Krishna and Balram. Krishna and Balram deserve a very brand new Pakka chariot, not the chariot used by Kamsa. That is why Akrura got excited. Right? Not because of his desire to ride a new chariot. Like that. Different people have different interpretations and different intentions and different purports for the same thing. Right? So Kamsa had a different plan to enthuse Akrura by giving a new chariot. And Akrura had a different intention in accepting that new chariot. Right? Apparently both may match. Apparently, Kamsa gave a new chariot and Akrura got excited. But the reason for Kamsa's giving new chariot and the reasons for Akrura getting excited are totally different. Then, nirshta. Sometimes we may do the right thing for the wrong reason. Right? But sometimes one may do wrong thing for the right reason. But what matters more is the reason, not the thing. Right? Not the act. So one has to focus more on the intention. Focus more on one's consciousness than the activity. Definitely one has to do the activity, no doubt. But the consciousness behind doing that activity has to be very pure. Right? In ISKCON we get to do so many activities. In the Brahmacharya Ashram we get to do so many activities. Many are privileged activities. Many are menial activities. Some are palatable activities, some are impalatable activities, right? Some are exciting activities, some are comfortable activities, some are not very comfortable activities. Like that, so many activities we get involved in. But with what intention we do which activity, that matters. That decides whether we are advancing or not. Activities everyone will do. People get involved in so many things. There is enough engagement. You get 100 more people, in one day, all of them will be engaged. Right? So, ultimately one has to focus on one's intentions. Now the demigods who are under the protection of Vishnu have sent these two boys as my death. bring them here and also have Nanda and other cowherd men come with gifts of tribute. Right? Ghatayishya ihanitau kalakalpena hastinam yadimuktau tato mallair ghataye vaidyutopamaihi.
Sir, you bring Krishna and Balaram. I will have them killed by my elephant, who is as powerful as death itself. And if by chance they escape from him, I will have them killed by my wrestlers, who are as strong as lightning.
Okay. So, you bring them, I will kill them through my elephant. If they miss, then I will employ my wrestlers. And before that, I will employ Keshi and Vyoma, that he didn't reveal to Akrura. So, tayor nihatayostap taptan vasudeva purogaman tadbandhun nihanishyami vrishnibhoja dasarhakan.
When these two boys have been killed, I will kill Vasudeva and all their lamenting relatives, the Vrishnis, Bhojas and Dasharas.
I will kill all of them. And I will kill Nanda Maharaj and Rishabhanu also. Such a big mass killing plan he is having. And he is revealing that to Akrura. Next, Ugrasenam Japitaram Sthaviram Rajyakamukam Tadbhrataram Devakamcha Ye chanye vidvisho mamam. So I will kill my father Ugrasena. Ugrasenam cha pitaram. Then sthaviram rajyakamukam. So sthaviram means he is very old, and rajyakamukam, he is old and then he is desirous of kingdom. He is sitting on the throne. I am supposed to sit on the throne. So I will kill that fellow also. My father also I will kill. Because at this point he already knew that Ugrasena was not his father. Then tadbhrataram devakamcha, and his brother Devaka also I will kill. Ye chanye vidvisho mama, and whoever is my enemy, I will kill all of them. Okay. Then tatas chaisha mahi mitra bhavitri nashtakantaka. Then, my friend, this earth will be freed from all thorns. What Kamsa is thinking as thorn are great devotees of Krishna. And whom he is thinking as his well-wishers, they are a big burden on the earth. So the conception of the demons is exactly opposite to the conception, opposite to the reality. Simple. So Devaka, Ugrasena, then Nanda, Vrishabhanu, Vrishnis, Bhojas, Dasarhas, he wants to kill all of them. But see what the next verse he says. Jarasandho mama gurur dvivido dayita sakha Shambaro, Narako, Bano, Mayeva, Krita, Sauhurda. All these people are my Sauhurda, very dear associates. They are my well-wishers. Tairaham, Surapakshiyan, Hitva, Bhokshe, Mahim, Ripan. So I will use them to kill all the kings who are Surapakshiyam, the demigods, the friends of demigods, who are on the side of the demigods. Then I will rule the earth. So this is their plan. Actually, this entire cosmic manifestation is controlled by the Supreme Lord. And Krishna employs different managers of this material world. They are the demigods. The king is there, he has so many ministers. Now one unscrupulous person in the kingdom, right, who may have some powers, first he wants to kill all these ministers. Or the managers. All these managers I will remove one by one. Tuk, tuk, tuk. Then I will kill the king only. Then I will kill all the family members of the king. Right? Then I will sit on the throne. One criminal in a kingdom is thinking like that. So now he is the criminal in God's kingdom. Bigger cosmic manifestation. And all the demigods are representatives of God. Or ministers or managers of the king. So he wants to kill all of them. That is his plan. Then etad gnatva naya क्षिप्रम रामकृष्णौ इहार्भकौ धनुर्मखा. मखा मीन्स सैक्रिफाइस. धनुर्मखा मीन्स धनुर्यज्ञ, बहु सैक्रिफाइस. धनुर्मख निरीक्षार्थम द्रष्टुम यदु पुरस्त्रियम पुरश्रियम. सो नाउ अंडरस्टैंड माय इंटेंशंस, राइट. एतद् ज्ञात्वा, राइट. सो व्हाट इज दैट इंटेंशन? क्षिप्रम मीन्स इमीडिएटली, क्विकली. राम कृष्णो इहार्भको, ब्रिंग राम एंड कृष्ण. दोस चिल्ड्रन, अर्भक मीन्स चिल्ड्रन, बॉयस. ब्रिंग दोस बॉयस, राम एंड कृष्ण हियर. And what pretext? That I am doing bow sacrifice. Nirikshartham. They can come and witness. Right? Some sacrifice is going on. Come, come, children, come. You can see that. Right? So all children are taken to see some exhibition. Or some mela. Or some... I don't know all this will happen or not. In our childhood. Right? Going to some exhibition or some mela or some... What is that called? Some celebration will happen. That is called something. Some celebration is called. Some technical name is there. So that kind of things happen. Dasara time may, right? Some things will happen there. So you, on that pretext, you bring them. Dhanurmakha nirikshatam, nirikshartham, drashtum yadu purasriyam. And also they can see the opulence of Yadu's capital, drashtum. Yadupura Sriyam. Sriyam is the opulence of Yadupura, that is Mathura. They can see the opulence of Mathura, they can also see Dhanuryagna. On that pretext, you can invite them. Right? Very diplomatic. Right? Don't tell the secret. Whatever I have revealed to you, don't tell to them. Right? I'm not calling them to kill them. What you should tell is they can come and enjoy in Mathura for some time. Sri Akrura Vacha. Rajan Manishitam Sadriyak. स्वावद्यमार्जनम् सिद्ध्य सिद्ध्य समं कुर्याद् दैवं हि फलसाधनम्.
अक्रूर सेड, ओ किंग, यू हैव एक्सपर्टली डिवाइस्ड अ प्रोसेस टू फ्री योरसेल्फ ऑफ मिस फॉर्चून. स्टिल वन शुड बी इक्वल इन सक्सेस एंड फेल्यूर, सिंस इट इज सर्टनली डेस्टिनी दैट प्रोड्यूसेस द रिजल्ट्स ऑफ वन्स वर्क.
Now Vidura is saying some Niti Shastra injunctions. You have nicely planned, okay, no problem, and you wanted to avoid your misfortune, but whatever fortune or misfortune one has to receive is already predestined, right? So one's previous work will definitely produce some results, right? Although you have planned so nicely. So that is his point. Akrura said, O king of Yadavas, you have a great ocean of desires. If destiny wishes, you will cross that ocean as one crosses the puddle of a cow's hoof print. If destiny does not wish, your desires will remain an insurpassable ocean. That's how Akrura said. Next, Kamsa is saying, oh, strong man rejects, a strong man rejects destiny. He makes his own destiny. That is Kamsa's arrogance. He cannot really believe Daivam or destiny. Only the weak lean on destiny. Protected by the power of his own work, a strong man is never troubled by eternal time and the eternal super soul. These are the arrogant words of Kamsa. Then we'll go to the next verse, 39. Manorathan karotyuchair janodaiva hatanapi. युज्यते हर्षशोकाभ्याम् तथाप्यज्ञं करोमिते.
An ordinary person is determined to act on his desires even when fate prevents their fulfillment. Therefore he encounters both happiness and distress. Yet even though such is the case, I will execute your order.
So you have devised a plan, I will execute that plan. So Akrura is apparently encouraging Kamsa, very gentle to him, courteous to him. But his hidden meaning was different. What he meant was, your plan is not fit to execute, yet I will carry out, since you are the king and I am your subject. In any case, you are going to die only. Whether Krishna and Balram are staying there, or whether they come here, you are sure to die. That I am convinced. But because I happen to be your subordinate and you are the king, I will execute your order. Like that. Though your desires will not be fulfilled, my desires will be fulfilled. Okay? Akrura had another ulterior motive. This is Akrura's ulterior motive. What is that? So, okay, Kamsa, anyways, he is going to die only. And who can harm Krishna and Balram? But by executing this order of Kamsa, I will have the fortune of seeing Krishna and Balaram. Right? That is his internal reason. External reason is, he is subordinate to Kamsa, he has to obey him. Internally, he wants to see Krishna and Balaram. And on his way to Vrindavan, he even thanks Kamsa. I am very grateful to Kamsa for sending me for this task. Because Akrura is confident that Krishna and Balaram, because he is in Dasyarasa, he can understand the supremacy of Krishna and Balaram. If he is in Vatsalya Rasa, he will be overwhelmed with fear of Kamsa. Different rasas will induce different emotions in the devotees. So he is confident of Krishna's prowess. But if, for example, if Kamsa calls Vasudev or Devaki, right, you go and bring your sons, Krishna and Balaram, I am going to kill them. Will they agree? They will faint there only. They will not get excited to see Krishna and Balaram. We don't have to take darshan of Krishna and Balaram. Let them stay there only. Let them be safe there only. They should not come here. That is their intention. That is their mood. Right? So different people have different moods. All moods are correct. Now, Sukho Uvacha. Evam Asidya Adishya Chakruram Mantrinascha Visrujyasaha Pravishesha Griham Kamsaha Tathakruraha Swam Alayam. Then after instructing Kamsa, instructing Akrura, Kamsa dismissed his ministers and went inside his house. So that is the end of that chapter. Now, killing of Keshi Demon happens in next chapter, in just a few verses only. Any questions in this chapter? Okay. Shri Shuka Uvacha Keshi to Kamsa Pari Prahitaha Khurair Mahim Mahahayo Nirjarayan Manojava Sattvava Bhu Sattvava Dhuta Bravimana Sankulam Kurvanna Bhohe Shita Bhu Bhishita Khilai Tam Trasayantam Bhagavan Swagokulam Tam Dheshitair Vala Vighurnitam Budam Atmanamajau Mrugayantam Agranir Upahvayat Savyadanam Vyanadan Mrigendravat
Shukadeva Goswami said, the demon Keshi sent by Kamsa appeared in Vraja as a great horse. Running with the speed of the mind, he tore up the earth with his hooves. The hairs of his mane scattered the clouds and the demigods, airplane throughout the sky. And he terrified everyone present with his loud neighing. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead saw how the demon was frightening his village of Gokul by neighing terribly and shaking the clouds with his tail, the Lord came forward to meet him. Keshi was searching for Krishna to fight. So when the Lord stood before him and challenging him to approach, the horse responded by roaring like a lion.
Here, horse is like a lion. Horse is like a man eating rakshasa. Keshi ate human flesh. Any horse eats human flesh? I don't know. But Keshi ate. Keshi can fly in the sky. Keshi just, in the fight, Keshi pulled Krishna 800,000 miles high in the sky. Matlab, he can go into the sky. Like that. So this Keshi in his past life is feeling that I am a great devotee and spiritual master. He was thinking like that. Actually, in the past life, he was a servant of Indra. demigod. So you know, in the sixth canto, Indra killed Vritrasur. He was afflicted by sinful reaction. He was chased by an old woman affected by tuberculosis. That is actually personified sinful reaction of Indra. So Indra went and then hid himself in the lotus stem under a lake for a long time. The Nahusha was there as the king. That all you know, right? So after Indra came out of that situation, then he initiated. He was there in the lotus stem for 1,000 years. After that, he came back and all the sages, brahmanas, they performed some sacrifices, right? So that Indra's position in the heavenly planet will be stable. So they initiated an Ashwamedha sacrifice. Then Indra's assistant is this Keshi, right? At that time his name was Kumuda, right? So he is very eager to ride that horse. That sacrificial horse is there, Ashwamedha, sacrificial horse. So that horse was entrusted to Kumuda, Indra's assistant. So he wanted to ride that horse. Now, ghoda hai, right? So many horses may be available, but he wanted to enjoy that horse only, right? So that led to an offense. So what he did was, he went, that horse has one black ear also. That's another attractiveness. Different people are attracted by different things. Somebody is attracted by, one sense object which is of this flavor. Somebody is attracted by another sense object of that flavor. Now he is attracted by horse of black ear. Someone else is attracted by, say, mirchi bhaji. Someone may want sandesh. His tongue is attracted to sweet. Someone else's tongue is attracted to some tikka thing. So he is attracted to horse. So he had to become a horse. You know what he did? He can run at the fast of run very fast. So he went to Talaloka. So merge. So means he stole the horse and then went to a different loka only. From heavenly planets he went to Talaloka. Then all the maruts caught him and then bound this fellow and then brought him to Indra. And Indra cursed him. You have stolen my horse. You become horse. Right? That is his curse. So for 2 manvantaras, he became a horse on the earth. Right? So actually, this is actually a prayer. Keshi offered a prayer to the Lord after Krishna killed him. He said, I am actually like this. I became greedy to ride that horse and then I stole that horse and Indra cursed me. So for 2 manvantaras I have been like this. Now by your mercy, I will go back. I will be relieved from the touch, from the curse of Indra. So Keshi ate human flesh and Keshi's hairs were standing on end. They were, each hair is as hard as a thunderbolt. So these are all comparisons given. Then when Keshi is coming, Krishna is getting excited. I want to fight with him or I want to play with him. So like that. And Yashodamayi and Nanda Maharaj and other Vrajavasis, they got worried. Right? Yashodamayi says, hey, Krishna, where are you going? There is some that looks like a demon. It doesn't look like a normal horse. Right? And your body is like a tender, young tala tree going in a shady place. And that horse looks like a big demon, so huge. Why are you going there? Right? But Krishna wouldn't listen, as usual. So he was running there. Then mother Yashoda says, oh son, why are you going? Where are you going? Please stay back. But Krishna says, mother, I want to see the horse. Then mother says, it appears to have very bad intentions also. Right? It is looking fierce and it also seems to attack something, someone. But what are we going to do, mother? The horse does not have a rider. Right? Then mother says, go to the house. Mother, I am without knowledge of what is beneficial. So let me go and see. So Krishna kind of very restless and desirous to see the horse. So somehow that discussion went forward, and then Krishna came in front of the horse. Right? Actually, Kamsa subdued Keshi, and then Keshi became his servant. So he employed him in the service. Satam nishamya bhimukho mukhenakham piban ivabhyardavadatya mashrana namarshana jaghana padbhyam aravindalochanam durasadas chanda javo duratyayah.
Seeing the Lord standing before him, Keshi ran toward him in extreme rage, his mouth gaping as if to swallow up the sky. Rushing with furious speed, the unconquerable and unapproachable horse demon tried to strike the lotus-eyed Lord with his two front legs.
So, with his two front limbs, jaghana padbhyam, aravinda lochanam, Krishna is so pleasing to see. But that same pleasing form of Krishna will invoke different kinds of emotions in different kinds of seers depending on their attitude. Very soon we will come to that verse. Mallanam ashanir nanam naravaram strinam saro murtiman. That verse will come very soon. So here, although Krishna is Aravinda Lochanam, lotus-eyed boy, Keshi was not impressed. Keshi is kicking that lotus-eyed Lord with his two legs. Even when Krishna jumped in the lake of Kaliya, this beautiful description comes. Tam prekshaniya sukumara ghanavadatam. What is that verse? Can you open? 10.16.8.9.12 somewhere in that area it comes. Tam prekshaniya sukumara ghanavadatam. It is Krishna's form is prekshaniya. Very pleasing to see. Worth seeing. It's worth seeing Krishna's form. Ghanavadatam. Srivatsa Pita Vasanam Smita Sundarasya. He is wearing Pita Vasanam and Srivatsa mark, and he's having a very beautiful smile. But Kaliya is hissing and then trying to kill Krishna. That beautiful form of Krishna invoked envy in Kaliya, anger in Kaliya. Same is happening with Keshi. What is the next line? Kridantam apratibhayam kamalodarangrim. He is playing in the waters of Yamuna. Apratibhayam. He has no fear of any enemy like Kaliya. Kamalodarangrim. So he is having lotus eyes. Right? Next. Lotus feet. Sandarsya marmasu bhuja rishaya chachada. By seeing this beautiful form of Krishna with lotus eyes and lotus feet, very worthy of seeing, beautiful, rusha, anger invoked in the mind of Kaliya. Same thing happened with Keshi also. Anger invoked in the mind of Keshi. Started kicking Krishna. Tadvanchayitva tamadhokshajo rusha. So rusha word comes again here. Right? Coincidentally, we referred that verse also. Rusha. Rushaya chachada. Pragrihya dorbhyam parividha padayo. Savagnamutsrujya dhanu sutantarim. Yathoragam tarksha suto vyavasthitaha.
But the transcendental Lord dodged Keshi's blow and then with his arms angrily seized the demon by the legs, whirled him around in the air and contemptuously threw him in the distance of 100 bow lengths, just as Garuda might throw a snake. Lord Krishna then stood there.
100 bow lengths. It's around 600 feet. Okay. So he threw him like that. Just like a Garuda. Garuda is Tarksha Sutam. Means son of Kardamamuni. Tarksha Suta is Garuda. So Krishna was standing at one place only. Right? So as the Lord dodged Keshi's blow and then with his arms angrily seized the demon's legs, whirled him around like that. And then threw him like this. And Krishna was standing at one place. By lifting such huge weight, Krishna is not like doing like this. You just lift a 100 kg goni, and then you are like this. And if you are not balanced, somebody like Mukund Mahaprabhu lifts, and then the goni is on him. He is under the goni. Right? But Krishna was not moving only. Sahlabdha samgna punaruthito arusha. व्याधाय केशी तरसाप तद्धरिम् सोप्यस्य वक्त्रे भुजमुत्तरं स्मयम् प्रवेशयामास यथोरुगम्बिले.
Upon regaining consciousness, Keshi angrily got up, opened his mouth wide and again rushed to attack Lord Krishna. But the Lord just smiled and thrust his left arm into the horse's mouth as easily as one would make a snake enter a hole in the ground.
So, Krishna actually showed his left thumb like this. Eat, eat, yeah. Cow, cow. He was showing like that. Right? Then Krishna caught Keshi's tail and then reeled him around and then threw him like this. And Keshi actually pulled Krishna 800,000 miles away into the sky to fight. Fight went for 6 hours. This kind of fight. Okay. Danta. Krishna can finish him in 6 seconds also, but just he was having some fun. So, Danta anipetur bhagavad bhujasprahas. Te keshinastaptamayas prushoyatham. Bahuscha taddeha gato mahatmano. Yathamayasam vavridhe upekshitaha.
Keshi's teeth immediately fell out when they touched the Supreme Lord's arm, which to the demon felt as hot as molten iron. Within Keshi's body, the Supreme Personality's arm then expanded greatly, like a diseased stomach swelling because of neglect.
Okay, so Keshi's teeth fell down immediately. And the demon felt hot as molten iron. Although Krishna's hand is so soft and cooling, more tender than a lotus, softer than butter, right? So soothing to touch. But Keshi felt extremely hot, as if it was made of lightning bolts. Again, depending on one's attitude, he will perceive things, right? So even Bakasura also, when Krishna entered into the mouth of Bakasura, so Bakasura just swallowed. Inside him, Bakasura was feeling fire, right, inside his mouth. So all Keshi's teeth together touched Krishna's arm to chew, right. They are uprooted, they fell out. Right? Next. Samedhama nenatsa Krishna bahuna niruddhavayus charanamscha vikshipan prasvinna gatra parivritta lochana papatalandam vishrijan kshitavyasu.
As Lord Krishna's expanding arm completely blocked Keshi's breathing, his legs kicked convulsively, his body became covered with sweat and his eyes rolled around. The demon then passed stool and fell on the ground dead.
So passed stool and then dead. So when Keshi fell down, Keshi's body burst open like an overripe lemon, a lemon name, melon, watermelon or something like that. You just drop it like this only, this much, it only, it'll just burst open. So Kesha's body got open. Next. Taddheta. Taddheta. Karkatika. Falopamad. Vyasorapakrishya bhujam mahabhuja. Avismito yatna hatarika surai. Prasuna varshair varshadbhir idita.
The mighty Am Krishna withdrew his arm from Kesha's body, which now appeared like a long karkatika fruit. Without the least display of pride at having so effortlessly killed his enemy, the Lord accepted the demigod's worship in the form of flowers rained down from above.
So if someone does an impossible task, he might feel proud. Right? If you kill Kesha, you may become proud. But Krishna's killing of Kesha is such a small thing for him. He can kill thousands of Keshis in one eye blink. So he doesn't have to feel proud about it. So Krishna is not having any pride. So then from Kesha's body, this Kumuda appeared. Kumuda is assistant of Indra, who was cursed to become a horse. Then he offered prayers to Krishna. Right? So Kesha's prayer is, Kinkaram Kurumam Deva Tvadangrau Lagna Manasam Namastubhyam Bhagavate Sarvalokeka Sakshini. This is one of the prayers of Kesha. Kesha said, Kinkaram Kurumam Deva, my dear Lord, make me your servant. Tvadangrau Lagna Manasam, may my mind be thinking about your lotus feet. May my mind be absorbed in the thinking of your lotus feet. Then Namastubhyam Bhagavate Sarvalokeka Sakshine. You are the witness of entire world. So you should show me mercy. Right? I am offering obeisances to you. That was the thing. There are many more details about Kesha episode. You can study Garga Samhita and all those. So after circumambulating Krishna, Kumuda entered a celestial airplane and at once flew to Vaikuntha Loka, filling the circle of directions with light as he went. Okay. So now Krishna killed such a great demon that terrorized even the demigods. He wasn't proud. Okay. So if Krishna is prideless after accomplishing such a impossible task, how can one who is a devotee of Krishna be proud of accomplishing some simple tasks? Right? So one cannot be proud of one's accomplishments. Krishna is exemplifying that here. And what kind of task he has accomplished? Killing Kesha is not an ordinary thing. We may sit in Vidyapeeth classroom and then hear it. Oh, maja aa raha, achcha fighting hua. We may think like that. But there is no pride after doing that also. So one may distribute maybe 2-3 books in marathon and then areva kya kiya me. So one may become proud of one's activities. If actually we should regularly read first canto, 15th chapter, first few verses, especially 5th, 6th purports. Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurupina Yename Apahritam Tejo Deva Vismapanam Mahat. So Krishna bestowed prowess on Arjuna to be the hero of Kurukshetra war. And after the war was over and Krishna departed, Arjuna could not even defeat some cowherd people also. Such a great Kshatriya. He said, I am the same Arjuna, I have the same Gandiva bow, I have the same chariot, I have the same horses. Everything is same. But I have lost all my powers. Because everything is not same. Because the main thing, Krishna, the main element Krishna is missing there. So in that context, Prabhupada writes brilliant purports. They are very important for one's devotional life. So especially within this kind of setup, one may get opportunities to do so many things. By doing that, there's a lot of appreciation and glorification that happens here. Outside world, if you accomplish something, hardly anybody appreciates you. Your world is also very small, right? You live with the 4 or 5 family members only. Right? Here, you are living with, 150 brahmacharis here. Even within Vidyapit only, you have some 50, 60 people, right? How many? 14 here, 35 there, 50 there, and some more people joined. And then more than 65 are there as students. If you do one thing, there are 65 people who can potentially glorify you. Even if you consider, not everybody will have the inclination to glorify, only 4 fellows may glorify. That itself is a big thing compared to what an outside regular person can receive. Right? So there is a lot of glorification here because of one's services or accomplishments. So one should not become puffed up by it. One should not, that receiving of glorification should not be the impetus for us to engage in activities. One may be carried away by the desire to be appreciated by some people, and he may, ye kaam kiya to thoda, people notice me, people recognize me, people appreciate me. Right? This work is not worth doing because and there is no one who can notice it. That is when we are on the receiving end of glorification. One should not become proud. One should not. Receiving glorification will increase one's pride. Right? Somewhere, secretly also one can become proud. Apparently, so one may apparently say that also, but somewhere, in some corner, there is that seed. One should not nourish that seed. One should just pluck out that weed. Right? On the other hand, when other devotees are accomplishing so many tasks, one has to glorify them. One has to appreciate them. There is always a tendency to be extravagant. Right? Some people who are coming from little rich backgrounds or little well-to-do families, there is some tendency to spend. There is some tendency to be extravagant. That propensity can be profusely utilized and engaged in glorifying devotees. Right? We are quite conducive in glorifying other devotees' valuable services, invaluable services. Right? You see Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu glorifies devotees with 5 mouths. His one mouth itself is like very so much can come out of it. He glorifies with 5 mouths. So he is appreciating devotees like anything for all the services they have done. So this is the balance. Demigods are glorifying Krishna. Demigods are praising Krishna. Brahmanas are praising Krishna. And all these people are showering flowers on Krishna. And Krishna is not becoming proud. You see, simple thing. And Krishna many times appreciates others also. His Gopa boys he appreciates. All the devotion of all these devotees he appreciates. So this is the thing. When others, one has to appreciate others, one should not become proud when others appreciate oneself. These two things are needed. Right? So here Krishna is not displaying any pride at having so effortlessly killed his enemy. So, yeah, that is the end of Kishidiman. 9th verse. Kishidiman, what does it represent? Correct. I am great devotee and spiritual master. Correct. We discussed it also. Next, 9th verse. Devarshir upasangamya Bhagavata pravaronrupa Krishnam aklishta karmanam Rahiyatad abhashata Rahasyatad Rahasyeta Tabhashata. So Devarshir Upasangamya. No, Devarshi Narada came here. In the previous chapter, after Krishna killed Arishtasur, Narada Muni went and told Kamsa about Krishna's identity. Now in this, then Kamsa dispatched Keshi demon. So Krishna killed Keshi demon. Then Narada Muni came here after Krishna killed Keshi. Then he is saying, Devarshir Upasangamya Bhagavata Pravaro Nrupa. He is Bhagavata Pravara. Okay, he is very exalted amongst all the Bhagavatas, devotees of the Lord. Next, Krishnam Aklishta Karmanam Rahasi Yetad Abhashata. So Krishna is described to be Aklishta Karmanam. So he is performing some activities, right, effortlessly, like that. So he is most exalted devotee because he fulfilled the exalted desires of devotees. Narada Muni is called Bhagavata Pravara here, or exalted devotee, because he fulfilled the exalted desires of devotees at Mathura by causing Krishna to come from Vrindavan to Mathura. That's why he is called Bhagavata Pravara. Okay? Narada is the cause of Kamsa's killing, Kamsa's death. Right? He moved the events. Now Narada Muni offers wonderful prayers. Okay. Keshi, one more thing is there. Of course, both are similar. Keshi also represents the superiority complex. Okay. Superiority complex means as one advances in devotional service, one may feel oneself to be superior to others. Leads to disrespecting deities, guru, and then fall down. One should always feel oneself to be very fallen. As the contrary occurs, Krishna is forced to kill the demon. Feeling of superiority complex is represented by Keshi. And Krishna is forced to kill the demon. So, again, something connected to what we have been discussing so far only. That is, pride. One should not be proud. One should not feel superior towards others. Because different people can be compared based on different parameters. Now, if you say skills, take certain skills, singing skills. Based on that parameter, you can compare two devotees. Then, based on, say, managerial skills, you can compare two people, two parties. Based on one's intelligence, shastric intelligence, shastric knowledge, one may compare. So different parameters will compare different parameters are used to compare different people. But the mentality of conditioned soul is that he would give maximum importance to that parameter which he likes. You see, if he is a singer, he thinks that this fellow doesn't know singing only. Yeah, I am better than him, I am a better singer. If somebody is studying Shastra very nicely, he doesn't know Shastra, he doesn't have good Shastric understanding, right? So I am better than him because I study better. Someone else may give more prominence to another parameter of, say, management. I can manage things very nicely, very efficiently I can do. I can do multitasking. But this person will get panic. If you give him one small task also, he cannot manage it. If you give him two people to oversee, he cannot handle it. I can oversee 1,000 people. So that is his parameter of success. So different people have different parameters of success. But Krishna has his own parameter of success that we don't know. What is that parameter? Definitely, what we can understand from the Shastras is Krishna is expecting that surrender, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. How much sharanagati he has in his heart. So these are different parameters that Krishna wants to evaluate the devotees. He evaluates devotees based on their surrender, their sharanagati, their humility, their submissiveness to guru, right? Their taking care of other devotees, they're respecting devotees. right? Their what is amanina, manadena, their tolerance. These are various parameters that Krishna gives importance to. But conditioned souls will give importance to different other parameters and evaluate. Then the superiority complex comes. Nobody can compare. He is more humbler than me. Right? I give more rating in humility to him than me. So he is superior to me. He doesn't think like that. When the superiority complex comes, it is always associated with some external skill only. Most of the times at least. Right? If somebody is humble, one cannot become proud of it. I am proud of my humility. I am more humbler than him. Right? The very fact that one is saying that shows his pride only. So all these Vaishnava qualities cannot induce superiority complex in a person. What induces superiority complex in a person is his material skills. The only glory in him is that he got an opportunity to engage those material skills in spiritual service of the Lord. For that he can feel fortunate. He cannot feel proud of it. He cannot minimize the position of other devotees because of having that skill. Because I was saying, right, this chapter 1.15, in that context Prabhupada writes, all powers are given by Krishna for some service, and they will be taken away by Krishna once the service is done. What I have is nothing. What is my possession? My devotion to Krishna. My surrender to Krishna. That is my possession. My skills are not my possession. My intelligence is not my possession. Right? My ability to do so many things is not my possession. One has to understand this. These are all borrowed plumes of feather. Right? One cannot be proud of borrowed things. We are all borrowing skills from Krishna. But what is our possession? What is our property? That is our free will, our desires. If we spiritualize them, then that is beneficial for one's advancement in spiritual life. But if we misuse them, if we become proud of them, that will be danger. Okay? He is representing superiority complex. That's another point I want to share. Okay? I am a better devotee. This is, superiority complex is the word that came now. I already mentioned that in the beginning, that I am a great devotee and spiritual master. That is the thing. And now, why this discussion came in this context is, Krishna is considered aklishta karmanam. Why aklishta karmanam? Because he performs tasks effortlessly. One example is killing Keshi. So if one has superiority complex, Krishna is aklishta karmanam. He can effortlessly remove that by immediately showing you another person who is more talented than you. That is how Krishna need not fight with us like he fought with Keshi. He can fight with the Keshi demon within us, that is superiority complex, by putting another superior devotee in front of you. When another superior devotee is coming in front of you, what is your feeling? Oh, Prabhupada got a better servant than me. Oh, our movement can spread faster. Oh, more souls can be connected to Krishna consciousness because of the expertise of this great devotee. Is that the feeling in us? Or, my God, he is better than me. What will happen to my position? What will be my image amongst the different people? So far, people were thinking that I am the hero. Now, this fellow is becoming the hero. He is surpassing me. Right? Is that the feeling? Then that is Indra consciousness. Right? One has to be in Prithu consciousness, not Indra consciousness. I mean, Indra consciousness, when he was stealing the horse, I'm saying. It's not that Indra is perpetually in that consciousness only. He rectifies his mistake and all that. So, if one, to the extent one is prideless, to the extent one is non-envious, to that extent he can understand Bhagavatam. Simple. This is not secret. It's directly mentioned in the right in the beginning of the Bhagavatam only. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Who can understand Bhagavatam? Nirmatsaranam. No matsar. No envy. No envy and no competition. Envy means competition. When there is competition, there is win. If one wins, there is pride. If one loses, there is envy. Right? So one has to raise oneself above all those things. Okay. Otherwise Krishna is forced to kill that. Now Narada Muni is offering prayers. Krishna Krishna Prameyatman Yogesh Jagadishwara Vasudeva Akhila Vasa Sattvanam Pravara Prabho Tvamatma Sarva Bhutanam Eko Jyotir Ivadhasam Ivaidhasam Gudho Guha Shaya Sakshi Mahapurusha Ishwaraha. So now Chakravarti Pada is giving a beautiful purport to this verse. Narada Muni glorified Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Aprameyatman. He is saying Krishna, Krishna two times out of bliss. Out of transcendental bliss, out of ecstasy. He is saying Krishna, Krishna like that. One, you can't say, it's redundant. Nikal de Krishna. Right? Ek Krishna basa. We have to shorten things. We do that in Subodhini many times. But this is their ecstasy. This is their bliss. So thinking himself as just a semblance of a devotee who praises the Lord by sankirtan of names, or Narada Muni is glorifying Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, O Aprameya Atman. Right? Aprameya Atman means O immeasurable one. There is no measure. Right? You are unlimited. Yogesha. Yogesha means O source of all mystic power. Yoga Isha. Then Jagadishwara, O Lord of the universe. Then Vasudeva, O all pervading Lord Vasudeva, or son of Vasudeva. Now he is addressing Krishna as Vasudeva, not Nandanandan, because Krishna has to shift his focus to Mathura. Vasudeva, Akhila Avasa. He is the shelter of everyone. Akhila Avasa. Avasa means the place where one can reside, shelter. Akhila Avasa means Krishna is the shelter of everyone. Vasudeva Akhila Avasa, Sattvatam Pravara Prabho. So, Sattvatam Pravara means he is the best of all Sattvatas. Right? Where is that Sattvatam Pravara? Sattvatam means of all the Yadu dynasty, right? Sattvata means they are Yadus. Sattvatam Pravara means Krishna is the best of Yadu dynasty. Prabhu, O my master. So if you see, in one of the previous verses, Narada Muni is described as Bhagavata Pravara. He is best of all devotees. Here, Krishna is described as Sattvatam Pravara. He is the best of all Yadus. Like that. Then, Tvam Atma Sarva Bhutanam. He is the supreme soul of all beings, all living entities. Tvam Atma Sarva Bhutanam. Krishna is the soul of all souls. Atmanam Akhilatmanam. Sarvatma. Same thing is mentioned here. Okay, like that, in various ways, Narada Muni glorified Krishna. We are the witness within everyone, the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality, and the ultimate controlling deity. Now, we will go to 12th verse. Atmanatmashraya purvam mayaya sasruje gunan tairidam satya sankalpaha srijatyastya avasishvara. Okay. I think we will complete this. Only Narada Muni's discussion and then end. Then Vyomasur we will do some other time. Next, 13th verse. Sattvam bhudhara bhutanam daitya pramatharakshasam rakshasam avatirno vinashasyam sadhunam rakshanayacha. So why Krishna descended is described here. Okay, sattvam bhudara bhutanam. So bhudara bhutanam. You are appearing, you are the same creator, right? then we have descended on the earth to annihilate the daitya, pramatha, rakshasa demons. Daitya, pramatha, rakshanam, avatirno, vinashaya. Okay? Who are posing as kings? Bhudhara. Bhudhara means one who is a king. And also to protect the godly also. Sadhunam rakshanayacha. This is similar to Bhagavad Gita verse. Paritranaya sadhunam. That thing. So the reason for Krishna's descent is explained by Narada Muni. Mirko pata nahi kya. Why are you saying this? Krishna did not question like that. Narada Muni is glorifying with so much of love and affection. Considering himself humble, Krishna is pleased. Dishtyate nihato daityo Leelayayam hayakriti Yasya heshita santrastaha Tyajantya nivishadivam. Read, someone read the translation.
The horse demon was so terrifying that his kneeing frightened demigods into leaving their heavenly kingdom. But by our good fortune, you have enjoyed the sport of killing him.
You have enjoyed. Yes, sir. Heshita santrastaha. Where is it? Leela. Dishtyaye nihato daityo leelayayam hayakriti. Leela. As a leela, he just finished. Keshi. Now, in the next set of verses, Narada Muni summarizes all the future pastimes of Krishna. Okay. Now this is the summary, overview class of the rest of 10th canto. Chanuram mushtikam chaivam mallananyam shahastinam kamsam chanihatam dakshyem parashvo hantite vibhom. So now he is saying, I will very soon see you killing Chanura, Mushtika, Mallas. Mallas means Chala, Kotala, Tuta. Chala, Koshala, Kuta. These are the five wrestlers. Krishna kills all of them. Anyamsha Hastinam. Even Kovalyapeda also he kills. Every elephant he kills. Then Kamsa also he will kill. I will see all these pastimes in future. Very soon. Tasyano Shankha Yavanam. Muranam. Narakasya cha Parijata paharanam Indrasya cha parajayam. Then after that, what you will do is Shankha, where is it? Conch shell demon, right? Who is in the ocean? He steals that boy, Sandipan Muni's son. So he kills him. Then Yavana means Kala Yavana. Then Mura and Naraka, they are friends, right? He goes Prajyotishpura. Then Parijata Paharanam, Krishna steals Parijata after defeating Indra. All that I will see soon. Udvaham Vira Kanyayanam. Udvaham means marriage. Correct, no? Virya Sulka Dilakshanam. Nrugasya Mokshanam Shapad. Dwarakayam Jagatpate. After that you will marry so many queens. Some queens you will gain them by Virya Shulka. Virya Shulka means you have to show your valor. For example, Krishna showed his valor of subduing 7 bulls before marrying 1 queen. So like that Krishna marries so many. Nrugasya Mokshanam Shapad. You will relieve Nruga, that lizard. Right? King who became a lizard. So he will relieve him from his condition. Then Dwarakayam Jagatpate. You will stay at Dwaraka. You will erect this Dwaraka city also. Right? O Master of Universe. Shamantakasya Chamaner. Adanam Sahabharyaya. Mrataputra Pradhanam Cha. Brahmanasya Swadhamata. So you will participate in that Shamantakamani episode. You will accept that Shamantakamani. Right, he will find that Samantakmani. Right? Krishna did not accept that Samantakmani only. Then Adanam Sahabharyaya. Then you will also receive Satyabhama also. Right? A wife. Along with Satyabhama, Jambavati also. Krishna marries Jambavati also in the Samantakamani episode only. Satarajit says, you have stolen my Samantakamani and killed my brother Prasenajit. Then Krishna goes in search of the Samantakamani, then fights with Jambavan and marries his daughter Jambavati and gets the Samantakamani. And then carefully gives that Samantakamani to Satarajit back and accepts Satyabhama. Like that. Next, Mrutaputram Pradhanam Cha Brahmanasya. Then he also gives, brings the dead son of Sandipunmi back to life. Paundrakasya Vatham Paschat Kashi Puryasya Deepanam Dantavakrasya Nidhanam Chaidyasya Cha Mahakratav. So you will subdue Paundraka. The Paundraka is a biggest joker in 10th canto. Right? He thinks that I am Krishna. He has his own Shankha Chakra and Gada Padma, which he has made with some molten metals. This is my real Shankha. Krishna, you give up your Shankha Chakra, etc. Right? I have my original ones. I am the original Vasudeva. Such a joker, a comedy, super comical person. Jarasandha is another comedy person. So all this you will see very soon. Then Kashi Purjascha Deepanam. Kashi Purja, Krishna goes to Kashi and then subdues this Kashi Raja and Paundraka, both of them. And Paundraka is one fool and Kashi Raja supports him also. Right? Krishna kills him in such a way that his head falls in the right in the kingdom of Kashi only. And that Kashi Raja, before leaving for war, he just boasted himself like anything in front of all his citizens. In few minutes, the citizens saw his head there. Right, cut head. Then Dantavakra Krishna kills. Then Chaidya means king of Chedi, Shishupal. Right, Shishupal is another comical personality. Right, so he will give so many blasphemous words to Krishna, and then finally he loses count. He goes beyond 100, and then Krishna beheads him. Yani chanyani viryani dvarakam avasan bhavan karta drakshyamyaham tani geyani kavibhir bhuvi. Okay, read the last part. I shall see these heroic activities along with many others you will perform during your residence in Dwaraka. Okay, then karta drakshyamyaham tani geyani kavibhir bhuvi. Great kavis on the earth will sing about these pastimes. I will see all that. So he is giving an outline, right? Not comprehensive way, but he is giving an outline of Krishna's pastimes. Athate kala rupasya kshapayishnor amushyavai aukshahini nam nidhanam drakshyam yarjuna sarathehe. Later you will appear as time personified. Athate kala rupasya. Right? Kshapayishnor amushyavai. So akshauhininam nidhanam. Krishna will subdue akshauhinis of soldiers, big armies, through the medium of Arjuna. Krishna just plays the role of a charioteer and then Arjuna will do the needful. So, and after it is done, Arjuna's powers are taken away. See this? Our powers are given to do some service and then they will be taken away once the service is done. Right? So one should not be attached to powers, skills and facilities. Now the service needs some facility. We are given this room to have classes. Right? Now when there are no classes, we cannot use this facility. Weekends, we cannot come here. This is meant for some guest events. Getting right? It's like that. Now we are given some facilities. Right, so in my room, maybe phone is given, or something else is given. As long as service is there, you can use it. Otherwise, surrender the facility, surrender the power. That happens by surrender of one's consciousness. Otherwise, we'll be attached to the facilities, and our consciousness will be roaming here and there. Right, and the time to give up things comes, we'll not be able to give up. Krishna caused this entire destruction through the medium of Arjuna, just like wind causes forest fire through the friction of bamboos. Okay, Krishna did not personally participate in the fight. He, because wind is not the cause of forest fire, at the same time wind is the cause of forest fire also. Apparently because bamboo is clashing, fire generated. But wind is there for that clash to happen. Similarly, Krishna just played the role of a wind, invisible. Right? Vishuddha Vijnana Ghanam Swasamsthaya Samapta Sarvartham Omogha Vanchitam Svateja Sanitya Nivrittamaya Gunapravaham Bhagavantam Bhagavantam Mimami Imahi.
Approach you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are full of perfectly pure spiritual awareness and are always situated in your original identity.
That is Vishuddha Vijnana, fully spiritually aware. Krishna doesn't get lost. Sometimes we get bewildered. Who am I? One might get, living entity may get bewildered. But Krishna is Vishuddha Vijnana Ghanam. Right? Vijnanam is full awareness he has. Then Ghanam Swasamsthaya. He is situated in his original identity. Next, Prabhu.
Since your will is never thwarted, you have already achieved all possible desirable things.
Samapta sarvartham amoghavanchitam. Samapta sarva artham. All his purposes are by default fulfilled. Next, amoghavanchitam. And vanchitam means whatever he desires, he is eternally fulfilled. Right? He doesn't have any unfulfilled desires. Except that he wants to taste the sweetness of Srimati Radharani's love and his own sweetness. For that he comes as Mahaprabhu, and then that of desire also will be fulfilled. But none of his desires are left unfulfilled. Svatejasa nitya nivrittamaya gunapravaham bhagavantam imahi. So let us approach that Bhagavan. Okay, you remain eternally aloof from the flow of material qualities of illusion. Right, gunapravaham. Right, svatejasa nitya nivrittamaya gunapravaham. So he is Nivritta Gunapravaham. Okay. I mean, so many prayers are there. Oh, last, 23. 23 is last. Okay. Tvamishwaram Swashram Atmamayaya Vinirmitasesha Vishesha Kalpanam Kridarthamadhyā Adhyātha Manushya Vigraham Natosmi dhuryam yaduvrishti sattvatam.
To you, the Supreme Controller, who are dependent only on yourself, by your potency you have constructed the unlimited particular arrangements of this universe. Now you have appeared as the greatest hero among the yadus, vrishnis and sattvatas, and have chosen to participate in human warfare.
So you have constructed the unlimited particular arrangements of this universe. Now you have appeared. So all this, Narada Muni is telling Krishna that you have sufficiently given time and your association and the sweetness of your form and pastimes to all the devotees at Vrindavan. Now, my dear Lord, please shift your focus to Mathura. Right? So this is my request to you. That's what, by summarizing all the Dwaraka pastimes, Narada is indicating all that. You have to come to Mathura. There are people. So Krishna is very glad to receive this news from Narada Muni, which is communicated with so much of responsibility and affection and devotion and humility. And Krishna is willing to abide by what Narada Muni wants him to do. So Krishna is not offended by Narada Muni, because Narada Muni told him what he is supposed to do. But Krishna is quite humble in accepting that. Right? We become offended when someone gives us a suggestion on what we have to do, because that is attacking our false ego. Secondly, that happens to the extent we identify ourselves as the doer. and to the extent there is closeness in our relationship. Somebody comes and gives you a suggestion. If he's close to you, you may accept it. But if he's not close to you, that kind of feeling may come. Secondly, if we identify ourselves as a doer and we feel that we are superior, I know things well, I don't have to have any suggestions by anyone, that also might invoke an offensive feeling of being offended in us. So Krishna doesn't have both. He does everything. He doesn't have the material attitude of being the doer. Second, he is sufficiently close to Narada Muni. Narada Muni is his dear devotee. So he can even give a suggestion. He can accept. He is humble enough to accept suggestion from Narada Muni also. Right? He doesn't have this doership mentality or other things. Right? So, one needs to stay away from the mentality of blocking one's mind from hearing suggestions. Right? I know what to do. Mind your own business. That's not a very nice attitude. Right. Krishna himself is exemplifying that. He is giving allowing Narada Muni to guide him. To direct him. And this is a very serious suggestion. It's not a small suggestion. Krishna is absorbed in his Vrindavan pastimes. Nobody in the cosmic manifestation is as dear to Krishna as the Vrajavasis. And Narada Muni is boldly saying that shift your focus somewhere else. Go to Mathura Dwarka, Hastinapur. Right? Krishna doesn't have so much juice in other places as much as he relishes in Vrindavan. No, Narada Muni is asking him, you come there. So it requires a lot of boldness. Understand the seriousness of the suggestion that Narada Muni is giving here. Okay. Thank you all very much. Grathaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I took extra time. Unexpected. I am not prepared. Yes. I will give questions.